You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
You think that's funny, huh?
I'm gonna break your nose now.
Okay. Oh. I want you to picture a bullet inside your head. Can you do that for me?
Fuck you. Anyway, that's ambiguous.
Ambiguous? No, I don't think so.
No, I think he means that when you say picture it inside your head, okay, is that a bullet will be inside your head or picture it in your head, like
Carrie,
form an image?
Shut up?
He's got
Look,
a point.
I don't know anything about a girl, seriously. I was bluffing.
You know what? I think that you are bluffing right now.
Harry, what are you doing?
Well, what I'm doing for the guy who likes to bluff is I'm playing a little game called Am I Bluffing? Huh? Where is she? Where the fuck is Harmony?
Harry.
You want to play hardball? I can do that. Where is the girl?
What did you just do?
I put in one bullet, didn't I?
You put a live round in that gun.
Oh, well, yeah. There was like an 8% chance.
8%?
Wasn't it just 8?
8?
Yeah.
Who taught you math?
There's a guy I don't know wearing a Chris Crespo shirt.
Chris Crespo radio show. Everybody likes it. Listen to his shit.
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
First, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
But we might as well have a good time.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
What's up, guys? It is episode 220 of Cinema Crespediso. That's right, Drew.
You got it. You got the air horn button. Awesome. Sweet. So now we can just air horn all day. What I always want, Chris.
I'm going to communicate via air horn for the rest of the show.
So do what? Does that mean I have to start learning like dots and dashes? So what? That's just one. What does that mean? That doesn't.
You're gonna have to figure it out. Terrible way to start the show.
It really is.
All right, let's go back. Let's just start it all over. Welcome to episode 220 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging on the Crespediso studio. It's starting to warm up out there just a little bit. That's your Crespediso weather report.
Starting to warm up just a little bit.
Yeah.
From what to what, Chris?
From before
from like 90 to 100 degrees, from 30 to 40 degrees.
From before to now. It warmed up from previously to what it is currently.
Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever you say.
And that's going to help people.
Wherever and whenever they are.
Yeah, if you listen to this in 2018, they're like, you know what? That happened here too.
Yeah,
current threat level update is ivory. Your color threat level is ivory. Your forecasts are inconsistent. Hey, that works out.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty. Yeah.
They are inconsistent. Well, you are correct.
Actually, I didn't even plan that. That just happened. Chiming in and helping out is Drew Cogburn. Back this week. Last week he was out on assignment, saving that indigenous village in South America from that army of fire ants with a glass of water and a backhoe. I told everyone all about it. I said,
yeah,
that's what you were doing. Obviously,
exactly
you're back.
Did, yes.
So the army ants didn't get you.
No.
But how are those villagers?
All dead. I had to sacrifice them to save myself.
That's why they typically don't send you on those type of missions.
Yeah,
it's such a last minute thing.
I am known for sacrificing everybody else for the benefit of me.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. The fire ants were attacking.
No,
I inadvertently drank the water.
Oh, no, the water was to protect. No,
yep, nope, I drank it because I was thirsty.
Got thirsty.
And then I sacrificed the villagers, got on the plane, came back. It was pretty uneventful, actually.
The fire ants took the backhoe.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I got there, I took a sip of water, and I watched a bunch of fire ants, like, enthrall some people and, like, take them over and start eating them, and then I just turned around and got back on the plane.
Should not have sent you.
Yeah, no, it was a bad idea.
Well, we're glad you're back and you're safe. At least you're safe.
I am.
That's good. I know you got another assignment next week, but we'll worry about that. when it happens.
Yeah, we're about that next week. Who knows how many people will die this time?
We have a first-time guest here. Very excited to have him on. And I'm pretty sure we get his last name correct. We'll see.
Doubtful.
I did listen. I listened to an episode. I was like, I got to make sure I get this guy's name. But last I heard, you were sitting in the closet. So fortunately, we don't have you in a closet here. That's true, right? They had you in a closet.
Although we do have a closet we can put it
we
in.
We do have a closet. We have to empty out the closet, though. That's our prize closet. That's where the prizes are.
Oh, we can't let them know what
it's like an actual station where we have a prize closet.
It is.
Stations have prize closets.
They do?
Yeah.
So what is it, like a janitor's closet?
Filled with shit. From the Oh No Radio Show. They've been around since 2012, I believe. Been rocking it pre-Cinema Crespediso podcast-wise. From the show, Tom Really?
You nailed it.
Yeah, yeah.
Good job, Chris.
That's what I was going to get one of these.
You nailed it, man. Thank you.
How's it going, Tom?
It's going great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Drew, look what he brought from the show. Look at these magnets.
Swag bag.
Sweet.
And
Fuck Your Dreams is right.
And also a bunch of sweet Oh No Radio Show business cards.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to be doing the exchange of show swaggery and business cards.
Love me some show swag.
You'll be getting some for sure by the end
of
the show.
Of it.
We do have so much.
Fantastic,
of it, so
man.
Much. But Oh No Radio Show, what can you tell people who haven't heard of it? What can you tell people? A quick sell, the log line.
Yeah, the quick log line. We're four guys. We get together every week. Thursday nights, we do the show live out of our fearless leader, Owen's house.
Yes, Owen Butler.
Owen Butler. He's the one that's been doing the show for, whatever, 200-odd episodes.
It's pretty much his baby, right?
It's his baby. But yeah, we all kind of sit in occasionally on Thursdays. It's kind of a talk-style show.
And you do it live, right? Live every Thursday.
Yeah, we try to do it live. He's been very consistent doing it live every Thursday. And then the show posts up the following day on onoradioshow.com.
And on wherever people can get their podcasts. I use a standard podcast app.
The iTunes and some of the other outlets. I think he's on Podbean and some of those other outlets.
Yeah, sure. I listened to, I know just this past Thursday, you had now friend of the show, past guest of the show, Peter Von Zaborski, the PVT.
Yes.
From Scotch and Good Conversation.
P-Von-T, man. He represented. He was a great guest on Thursday, and I believe Owen had done his show. Did you do his show as well?
I have not done his show yet.
Oh, very cool.
We're scheduling that soon. Drew's going to schedule that as well.
Fun. He's a great guy, man.
He is a great guy. I know from his Instagram account that Owen's show is coming out this weekend.
Oh, fun. Yeah. They so-called buried the hatchet on the show. I know they had a fun little thing going on for a while.
The Orlando Weekly hatchet.
That's right. But, you know, the great guy, and I'm very interested to catch up on his show because I really didn't know much about it until he showed up. Sounds great.
It's a good show, and he's had some good guests on there. Can definitely recommend it.
That's awesome.
And he brought you guys a bottle of scotch. It brings everyone a cheap bottle of scotch.
He did, man. Yeah. It was so cool. I mean, like, who really brings that kind of gift to a podcast?
Right, exactly. I couldn't get Drew to do a shot on show, but
I wasn't in the mood, man.
Wasn't in the mood?
You can't force warm booze on somebody.
I agree with that. That is very true.
You can't do it.
I don't know. I think you could.
I mean,
you can't.
I'm 34 years old, Chris. I can no longer succumb to that type of peer pressure.
Oh man, yeah. I succumbed to it myself. I was just sitting there and I was telling myself, you should do a shot. And then like it took three quarters of the way through the show. I was like, all right, let's do a shot.
Yeah.
I think didn't Peter do one with me?
Yes.
And he's even older than both of us, man. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. You said four guys. There's five people on this business card. What's going on there?
Okay. Well, we had five at a time.
Yeah.
A fifth moved out to Denver.
Okay.
Where he kindly calls in maybe every once a week. They call him the Mile High Correspondent.
Right on.
For all the good reasons, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, it's basically myself, Ty, Owen, and Zach that are the normals every Thursday night. And every once in a while, we get some great guests in. I'm starting to open it up to the pod fam and get people in here, do
absolutely.
Some cross promotion. It's great.
Cross promotion's good. And it's kind of, you're doing, Owen over there is running like a morning crew, morning zoo type of thing, right? 90s radio, sort of.
That's a pretty good way to put it. I think it's...
Like without the stunts?
Yeah, there you go. We're not doing prank calls and... Mm-hmm. I think it's a nice hybrid between that and this new format with podcasting. I mean, Owen definitely sticks to the roots when it comes to, you know, his little segments. We do a clip segment. Sometimes he does products.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, it changes from week to week, and we just talk about our lives and what's going on and living in Orlando, all
very
that fun. Cool.
Very
man,
good.
Whatever happened to the prank calls on morning radio?
Oh, I miss those
that
so
shit,
much.
That shit was so funny when I was younger. I mean, I'm
so
sure it's
good.
Really annoying now
so
and
good.
Just doesn't work, but...
It still works.
In the 90s, it was awesome.
Every now and then on Tom and Dan, they do almost like reverse prank call.
Oh, that's fun.
Where if someone calls them, because they have a landline,
yeah.
And if someone's trying to sell them on something or scam them, every now and then they'll
record it and
yeah,
start talking to
them. They'll record it and Dan will fuck with them. And, And then he dies a little inside every time he does it because it is very hacky. Yeah. But Tom, he laughs so much, and I laugh too. I think there's stuff fucking stupidly hysterical.
I mean, there's I have a soft spot for the Jerky Boys. I'm not
gonna
lie.
Exactly.
Without a doubt, I grew up with the Jerky Boys. Remember Stern used to do like the tradio calls all the time.
Yes,
classic.
100% people fucking with each other, and man, yeah. And
it's so good.
2017 radio is so much more homogenized across the country.
Good way to put it.
I think we take it for granted that here in Orlando, and then even over in Tampa, where they were copying the real radio model with the bone, there's a lot of FM talk radio.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good to know, though, that it's still kind of alive in its essence and its roots, you know? It's important.
Around people here like it is in a couple of big cities.
People like listening to other people talk.
It's weird. It's strange. Because they're lonely and they need friends.
Yeah, and look what podcasting did. It just took it and made it way more of a household thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And now all us lonely podcasters can get together and pretend to be friends as we talk to each
other.
That's right. As long as it's in the name of downloads and slinging that tent.
Dude, amen.
Gotta sling that tent, man.
Gotta sling it.
I don't like the way that sounds.
Drew, sling...
I'm just saying, I don't like the way it sounds.
We're slinging tent masters.
I don't like the way it sounds.
Well, you don't like being a tent master?
Nope. I definitely don't want to sling any tents.
No slinging?
All right. We're tent slinging.
What to
amongst other things that we sling.
We're
slinging it around.
We got to figure out something else to call it. That's all I'm saying.
A working title's good, right?
It's a working title. Slinging that tent, working title of the episode.
Actually, it's a great title for the episode. I just don't like saying slinging that tent.
Now, do you guys kind of come up with the show name during the show? Because that's almost more like than a tradition with us.
No, that's usually the way it works.
That's the way it is, I think, with most podcasts.
Somebody will say something ridiculous, and that is the name of the show title.
And then you just got to write it down.
Yeah. And it feels like it just kind of fits. I feel like what happens with us is it actually comes after the show, and somebody will just write it in the thread, like, remember when you said that? And then everybody thinks, of course. It's like, if the shoe fits, wear it.
Yeah, that's what stuck out, and that's the name of it sometimes. Absolutely. That's
very cool, man.
Yeah, we're podcasters. We know what we're doing.
Doing?
No, sort of.
It took you 4 years to get an air horn, Chris. But, that's all I'm saying. I'm just putting that out there.
I'm so proud of it, too, and I can't even get the volume up loud enough.
It took you 4 years.
That is what we are missing. I tell Owen all the time. I'm like, man, you need an effects bank, man.
Really do. If you're doing the 90s radio thing, you need the effects bank.
You feel like it's just something's lost without
it. If you're doing 90s radio, for sure you need effects. I am kind of sacky when it comes to this shit, so I got my own board here, and I use the board to fire off the intro. So we're going to start the show with the streaming pick of the week, and that means I'm going to play the intro for that.
Hells yeah.
Here we go.
Assalamu alaikum.
Go ahead and reach in there. Pull out a piece of paper. Don't announce it just yet.
Wait until the song's over.
That's right, Cinema Crespiso, streaming pick of the week time. We just used a randomizer 9000.1 to pick this week's streaming pick of the week. It might be on Hulu, might be on Amazon. We're going to find out when Tom lets us know. Right now, we'll go ahead and announce this week's streaming pick of the week.
It is Sausage Party on Netflix.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's definitely on Netflix.
I don't have enough hands. It is definitely on Netflix because I just saw it. I just saw it listed on there yesterday, as a matter of fact, last night. Have you seen Sausage Party?
I have seen Sausage Party.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed it. I went in expecting kind of exactly what I got out of it, and it made me laugh. It was crude. It was funny. It was in an era of Pixar. I felt it really poked fun at kind of that mystique, it was good for a Rogan joint. It was good.
Yeah, it is a fun way to the anthropomorphic blank.
Yeah, exactly.
So they do. Pixar's got the toys and robots or whatever.
And these guys went food.
They went food, but then they took it in that direction.
But then they went really radar with it.
There, yeah, for sure.
You know, fuck a guy high.
The what?
Fuck a guy high.
Fuck a guy high.
For sure. So many times in that movie.
I need to rewatch it. Nick Kroll as the douche.
Awesome, dude. That was such a great little. It was great watching it and listening for the voices too.
Yeah.
Being like, that's that person. Yeah, that's exactly. That person. They really great. They got a great ensemble people together to do it.
100%. If you're a fan of like modern comedy, then it is a situation where you're like all these voices. Like I know that is. Oh, that's Oh man, it's good stuff. Sausage Party on Netflix for sure. Let me go ahead and write that down too. Because I will forget that. Pretty recent movie, too. Just came out last summer, right?
Yeah.
So it's already on Netflix. Easy for people to check out. And man, we all agree. We like it.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Good stuff.
Worth a watch. Maybe have the kids leave the room, but I thought it was pretty good.
Well, I mean,
sit them down.
Sit them down. Yeah. You have those kids watch
you
this.
Know, maybe it would be a kind of a good life lesson kind of thing. You know,
there's so many lessons in this fucking.
The kids will have questions
for being such a silly movie, which it is completely. It is. Really profound and deep as well.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Because yeah, well, there's all the religious stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. all of it.
Also about being compassionate.
Yeah.
with each other and each other's beliefs.
It's very true.
So you can talk to your kids about that. It's all good stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the food start fucking each other.
Yep.
Very much so.
Hedonism.
And hedonism. So you can teach them about the birds and the bees, or in this case, the hot dog buns and the hot dogs.
Uh-huh. I like that spin on it. I think we should go with that.
Yeah, I think so. I think we should go ahead and just start showing Sausage Party to kids in schools.
Yes.
As young as third grade.
Yeah. Sure. And then you know what? Just answer all their questions.
Yeah. Why not?
All the questions.
Just get it out right in the open.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are we sheltering them?
We shouldn't be. Look, that's fucking the kids up.
That innocence needs to be shattered immediately.
As quick as humanly possible.
That's part of the worst thing of the world.
Yes.
Isn't it? Social Justice Warriors? I have no idea. How does that work?
Sure.
I'm Orlando's number one libtard cuck snowflake, so I don't know.
I don't know how that shit works.
Well, that's a streaming pick of the week. Very good. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Let's get into the box office recap. Drew, that means we're going to be talking about that money. Let's start the box office top five with...
Number five.
Awesome.
Logan made $10.14 million, total of $201.
$200 million for an R-rated comic book movie, especially one as low budget looking. It's like $80 million, not too big on the special effects overall. It's a road movie about a dying, like
dying mutants,
pretty much cancer riddled Wolverine. They don't say it's cancer, but it's pretty much cancer. It's pretty much he's a dying Wolverine and a dying Professor X, and it's a dour bummer of a movie.
Awesome.
And,
but he killed so many people on his way out.
People and and it made over $200 million at the U.S. box office.
Wait, which, like I said, you know, hopefully this will set another precedent for R-rated comic book movies.
For sure, man.
I want it, Chris. I want it all.
Between Deadpool and Logan.
Deadpool and Logan.
This is the tipping point, I think. I feel like these movies are going to push it in that direction.
Well, right? And then once you get all the R-rated established characters out there, then they can start going into the deeper comic book stuff.
Perfect.
You know, your DMZs, your Scalps, your Why the Last Mans, that's your other strange nonsense that's, not superhero related.
Yeah, that's what you've been saying for a few weeks now. They should be getting into these graphic novels.
They should. It's really adult. It's super adult material. And you have movies storyboarded for you, and all you have to do is pay $20, and you have, boom, hey, look, I have a 90-minute movie right here in my hands.
For sure.
And I paid $20.
Well, that has been tried before. There's 30 Days of Night.
Yes, that's
which
true.
Which worked.
Sort of.
I enjoyed it.
Did you?
Yeah. I agree. I liked it. I thought it maybe when it came out, we were still a little skittish about that.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was at least executed well.
I was disappointed that it's a 30 Days of Night. It's in the title. It's supposed to take over the course of 30 days. And it felt like they were in that room for like maybe 2.5 days tops.
Yeah, good point.
Like Josh Hartnett's like facial hair. Like he should have some shang, right?
Oh, I fucking hate the ending of that movie. But then I honestly can't
remember.
It's the same ending in the comic book, which I hate too.
Okay.
Fair enough. So they stuck true to it then. Okay. Their fault then. They've tried it before, but maybe they'll go ahead now. It seems to be Fox doing it too, obviously. Yep. Logan and Deadpool are both Fox.
Oh, very cool.
Disney is not doing this anytime soon.
No.
Who else is that? And then Warner Brothers with the DC. They're pushing the envelope, but I don't see them going R-rated anytime soon.
Yeah, maybe
soon
not
either.
Taking the kinds of chances that Fox are doing.
In all reality, if Marvel would license their materials out to other people to try and make these rated R movies for them, maybe.
Yeah. But Marvel is no longer in the business of licensing things.
I know.
They're trying to get their shit back.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm aware.
Yeah. So that ain't gonna happen.
I'm aware. But I mean, it's not like Marvel is afraid of making decent, violent, superhero stuff. I mean, that Daredevil stuff on Netflix is no fucking joke.
Well, I guess it's on the right platform. Yeah, on Netflix they get a little more violent.
Platform, I think. Yeah. It allows for it. I see that too a lot, and it's one of those things where, like, I think DC and Marvel are going after tentpole kind of films, or going after franchise films.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how Hollywood makes money now, so I can't truly feel, you know, say, hey, you shouldn't do that. But I love the small outlets like the Netflixes and like these, you know, like Wolverine, I'm sorry, Logan. They're just making edgy movies, man, which you don't see these other big things doing.
And the thing is with Logan, it's less than $100 million to make it. I think it's a budget of like $80
million. 97,
so 90,
says.
So that's pretty much $100 million, which, you know, for a comic book movie, it's sort of on the low end.
Right, right.
Ironically. And the fact that it's been known that this is like Hugh Jackman's last go around. It's like the last Wolverine movie. So, they don't feel any pressure to like, we're making this movie to set up another movie. It's like, you know, it can be its own contained story. I think that
like
that
a bookend of what they've been doing.
They can end it. They can end everything that they've been building up to.
Well, no, exactly. Yeah. And this also shows that you can make money with an ending. You can end these fucking franchises.
It's kind of nice.
You can
do
it,
isn't it?
It can be done.
It's exhausting, man. It's exhausting in kind of the keeping up with the canon of everything alone. Seriously. It's hard, man.
I mean, what the final, it took me how long? Like a week ago, I think I saw the last Hunger Games movie finally.
Oh, wow. Oh really?
Yeah,
and that's
on
only,
HBO.
That's only four movies.
we never saw the last Hobbit movie.
No,
ever.
Never saw it.
I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
spare yourself. Yeah. All just this, pretend you saw.
I mean, all this.
Yeah, exactly. I get it. Armies.
You get it.
I get it.
I mean, you know, luckily Marvel's been knocking it out of the park, but. At a certain point in time, I'm going to get sick of this fucking shit, too.
Yeah, you're right. Right.
That's true. Last night, I put on Captain America Civil War, first time since I saw it in theater. But I was just, I'm just going to watch, like,
scenes. The action scenes.
I ended up watching, like, not just action scenes. I watched Tony Stark recruiting the Peter Parker scene.
I really liked that scene.
That's a fantastic scene. It's great.
Great
banter.
Example of tie-in to what they're trying to do as well with the rebooting of Spider-Man. And it's good, man. It's a different take on something we've seen just kind of done over and over and over again.
Exactly.
Especially with Spider-Man.
And I didn't even notice this the first time around where Tony Stark is asking him, it's like, what's up? Like, your abilities or something like that. Yeah. And he's first going through it. So actually, it's a long story, as you see. And then Tony Stark just cuts him off.
I don't we know.
Yeah, he's just like, what's this? What's that? And then they never get into it. Yeah. It's like, oh, I was
make
that
fun
side.
Of themselves in a certain
well,
way.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Well, I never picked up on that.
I mean, fuck, how many times have we seen the Spider-Man origin story?
Exactly. Over history, let alone in movies since the year 2000, multiple times. We're going to go through it a third time. The point of like, no, you know.
Sometimes Gwen Stacy dies, sometimes she
we'll see this time. Yeah,
exactly.
Are they going to kill her again? I guess
she has to die, Chris.
That's the reason she was created. She was created to
die. She was created to die.
That's it's fitting for women in comic books. Well, Logan, good stuff. We like it. We recommend it. If you haven't seen it, see it. If you've seen it already, see it again.
Number four this week.
Number four.
Life. Weekend gross $12.6 million. Budget of 88. Oh, 58. My bad. $15 million budget.
Okay, $12 million for a R-rated sci-fi movie opening week. I guess that's okay. It could be better, right? Lower budget. I expected the budget to be a little higher. It's obviously very
especially being
movie.
A sci-fi space set film.
Yeah.
That's pretty low.
Yeah. It's all shot up.
Oh yeah,
gravity floating. And
you got big name actors in there too. You got Reynolds and Gyllenhaal,
and you got a lot of effects in terms of the alien creature.
That's right.
Really detailed.
Very detailed. Goes through transformations.
Have you guys checked it out?
Yeah.
Very
and
cool.
We have seen it yesterday. I think the coolest part of that entire movie was those oxygen candles.
Oh, cool.
Oh yeah, the way they lit up.
That was the coolest very part cool. of the entire fucking movie.
There was some cool production design in this movie that, because you know we've seen the outer space movies how many times, and so they take designs that we know and they tweak them. They take things that we know and they flip them a little bit. Those oxygen candles are super cool. I wonder where the thought came.
I
want to
know if those are real.
Yeah, exactly. Super cool. I mean, it could be a NASA prototype. That's what works with filmmakers sometimes.
Yeah.
And
sure.
Going back to when Kubrick in 2001, they gave him TARDIS designs that they were working on. We were thinking that we could be making these in 40, 50 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And that's how he got some designs.
Space station that they were on is like straight up like nowadays space stations.
Yeah.
I mean, they even used quote-unquote Soyuz rockets.
Yes.
So,
cool. I was thinking, is this like sort of set in the future? But I think it's
near
kind
future.
Of as near as it gets.
Yeah.
Like next year, near future.
No, exactly. I'm talking like 5, maybe 10 years.
Barely even.
Yeah.
It felt very, very concurrent in terms of, I just, for some reason, thought it would be further. Because of the whole thing with Mars or finding another piece of life anyway. So, the setup of the movie, a satellite got knocked off its orbit with Martian samples on it. So this crew on ISS, they are tasked to wrangle it in, collect the samples, see what's in there. They discover that there's little microscopic life on it. And if you've seen the trailer, you've seen that then the life, it starts growing.
Oh, yeah.
And then gets out of control. And then it's, and then it's pretty much alien.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
For sure.
They're, they're on the ship.
Tiny alien.
But then, just like an alien.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It gets a little bigger.
Oh, yeah, it does. I mean, it's still, I mean, it's a creepy fucking thing.
It has a life cycle of some sort.
It does.
That's awesome.
So no details, spoiler-free review. Yes. Drew, what you think of the movie?
You know, I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Low expectations going in.
Exactly, low expectations. I knew Gyllenhaal was in it, but, you know, he's just fantastic. You know,
Gyllenhaal's quite good.
Ryan Reynolds in movies like this, very hit or miss.
Yes.
He can be very good. He can also be very, very awful.
Yeah, it depends on how he's used. Exactly. For sure. He's still doing his Ryan Reynolds kind of snarky thing.
He is, but it worked. It worked very well. And even when shit got real, you know, that's when I kind of expected him to falter.
Yeah.
And he did not.
And shit does get real.
Shit gets real.
It gets surprisingly real.
Yeah. And I really appreciated the ending. It made me smile.
Without saying anything.
Yes.
Cool.
I'm just saying I appreciated it.
People who know Drew that knows that. I mean, that could be a spoiler, but only for real Drew Cogman fans. yeah, I kind of want to say something about the ending. I'm not going to say anything about the ending. It's solid. Definitely more ponderous than I thought it would be. Much more serious and dramatic and like these are important events as it's unfolding. I thought it would be lighter for some reason. Not necessarily lighter, but maybe just more poppier.
Yeah.
Like on the surface, like you kind of knew you're.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're just getting ourselves into a crazy alien loose on a spaceship movie.
Yeah, exactly.
But right away, with the music and the camera work, like it feels like, oh no, this is like we're going for something here.
It's always a treat too when you go in with one kind of idea and you come out like didn't expect that.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't expect it. I didn't expect where it went, and I appreciate it for sure. I think overall, it's pretty well made. I think it may be just. Ryan Reynolds does do a snarky thing, but outside of that, I think it might be just a little too serious.
Sure. Was it weird to see him in that role? Because I know all we've kind of seen with Reynolds recently is, you know, we see Deadpool, like you put it best. Yeah. The snarky kind of Reynolds, not like the serious kind of Ryan Reynolds.
He's now Deadpool with outer space.
Yeah. Kind of, right?
Yeah, which I guess I'm fine with. Sure. I've always liked him.
No, very much so, yeah.
So, I'm fine with seeing him in a movie, but now it is a weird thing where it's like, now he's Deadpool.
Yeah.
Now he's Deadpool outer space.
Now he's Deadpool.
But that's fine, though. It's cool.
Speaking of Deadpool, have you guys seen the Deadpool musical?
Oh, the Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, the Beast. I haven't seen it, but I see it popping up everywhere.
It's fucking hilarious. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, these fan-made attempts are really good.
And whoever did that...
It's a fan thing?
I think so.
Yeah, because it says right up front, not affiliated with Marvel, blah, blah, blah. Because they go into it, but... I mean, they spent a lot of money on that thing.
It looked high production value, I'm impressed with some of those.
And they did a really good job with it.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Some people got too much time and money on their hands.
For sure, man. Like, wow, and attention to detail.
No, everything. Yeah, I was really impressed.
I'm gonna have to look it up. Check.
Coming to number three this week.
Oh, you didn't ask me what I thought of the movie,
Chris. Nobody cares what you think about the movie.
Fair enough.
You just said, and throughout your review, you said you liked it. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I thought. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, people go ahead and check it out. I guess it's okay. It's okay enough if you're looking for a sci-fi.
Yeah, I mean
sci-fi terror. If you're looking for it, it's good.
If you're looking for,
I wouldn't say rush out and go see it.
Okay, I wouldn't. Neither would I. But if you're looking for like a subpar Alien,
cool.
If you're looking for something to build up to Alien Covenant coming out this summer, have you seen that poster? The newest poster,
incredible.
The mural thing.
So Geiger-esque. Yes. Just tickled my bones.
It's like, wow, this is fucking, it's dark.
So dark. Coming at number three this week.
Number three.
Kong Skull Island. What? Made an additional $14 million, total of $133 million.
Still making money. I like
crushing
to see
it,
that.
Kong.
Yeah, good for them. It has a high budget, 180 something, 85. Yeah,
25.
So,
looked like a big, fun popcorn movie for the most part.
It is, but it's so much more. Cool.
It's very enjoyable. It's a big, crazy monster movie. It's a kaiju movie,
Do you like monster movies?
Yeah.
Do you like kaiju movies? Sure. Do you like war movies?
Yeah.
Do you like 70s movies?
Do you like Samuel L. Jackson?
Do you like Samuel L. Jackson? Do you like giant monkeys?
Yeah.
I mean, if you like any of those things, Kong Skull Island's the movie for you.
For real.
Are you a fan of Apocalypse Now? Because this movie's kind of Apocalypse Now with a giant monkey.
Yeah, it is. Like, they were like, we want to make Apocalypse Now, but with a giant monkey. Monster.
And, and let me ask, are they using this movie to facilitate starting this new kind of tentpole with their monsters?
Yes.
100%. I mean,
they, very interesting.
They are tying it in with, you know, the Godzilla and other things that they're going with.
The company that John Goodman works for is the same company that's in Godzilla.
They're called Monarch.
It's small times. It's not like they're trying to force feed Godzilla into this.
At the end and after the credits, like you sit through the whole credits, instead of Samuel Jackson with the eye patch coming out, instead of that, it's a couple of characters from the movie are being approached by someone else from the company Monarch, and they're like, look at these pictures. And it's like cave drawings from thousands of years ago depicting like Mothra and like Godzilla monsters. And then the last one is a cave drawing of Godzilla.
So Godzilla has maybe existed in this world already?
Oh, he exists. They are building up to King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we all want.
All they have to do is scale down Godzilla and scale up King Kong and everything will be good.
Yeah, they're going to work on that balance. But they're working on it. They're doing Godzilla 2, King of All Monsters next, and then the King Kong v. Godzilla will be like 2022, something like that.
So we got to wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's so there's so little.
Take your time. Make it good. Make it enjoyable.
Exactly. But that's the plan though. They're going there out for sure. But Kong Skull Island is definitely worth checking out. A lot of fun. Definitely worth seeing in a theater too with a big screen.
I feel like that's the only way to see that.
And the 3D is actually I can recommend it. Oh, I don't even like 3D all that much.
But okay. I'm picky as well. I kind of ask around and see which ones.
Exactly. Not all 3D is the same. Nope. 100%. So that was number three.
Yes.
What's number two?
Power Rangers.
Go Power Rangers.
$5 million.
Wow.
Is this its first weekend?
Yeah.
How much did it make?
40.
And it's at number two?
Yeah.
God damn, that number one movie. What's the budget?
$100 million.
Apparently, I didn't click on the article because I figured it's just a really high number, but they plan on making a whole lot of these Power Rangers.
Yeah, I saw half a dozen or something.
Something like that.
It's a lot.
Yeah, oh, man.
That's quite a plan.
And if it's making $40 million opening weekend, if it keeps making money, expect another more Power Rangers.
Well, I mean, get ready for the Power Rangers toys to come back. We're going to be seeing fucking Megazoids and blah, 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 blah,
it's
blah,
blah. It's a perfect show.
It's going to be the 90s all over again.
It's such a perfect opportunity to reignite that brand.
And they get new kids, the kids into it. I mean, why not? They're still playing the Pokemon.
Well, yeah. And they're
still watching Dragon Ball
Z. And
their
parents grew up on fucking Power Rangers.
And their parents can be like, oh, I can tell you a little bit about this.
Yeah.
We can talk about this.
Exactly. I can tell you. You want to know the original story arc for the White Ranger, motherfucker?
My dad watched Looney Tunes cartoons and Popeye cartoons with me, so it's the
same thing. So did my dad. You know,
it's the same thing.
Grew up watching all that stuff, and then as you get older, you realize how delightfully racist they all were in the 40s.
Yeah. Oh, they're so wonderfully racist, or mean to speech impediments. That's why Albert Foote's not on anymore. Who else can't be in it anymore?
But
Speedy Gonzalez because of Mexican. Also. Slowpoke Rodriguez.
I would think that Bugs Bunny would be making a resurgence now with the LGBT community because he was the biggest fucking cross-dresser I knew.
He loved dressing all the time.
He loved dressing up his girls and making out with Elmer Fudd.
He was very comfortable with his sexuality.
He very much was, yes.
I admit, well, Bugs was one of the last ones to make it, I guess. there's another one that I want to point out that it's like, nope, can't do this one anymore. Oh, well. Oh, Porky Pig?
Because he wears no pants?
Because stutters.
The speech impediment?
Yes. Because he stutters. Okay. Speech impediment. And Pepe Le Pew? Because he's
he's a rapist?
Because he's a racist portrayal of a Frenchman, i.e. a rapist. Yes. Tom and Jerry, they had to cut out half of those because Jerry smokes in like half the guys.
Yeah, that's right. He does smoke a lot.
They smell fucking giant cigars in those things. And they explode in their face. That's one of the gags. Exploding cigar gag. Come on.
Well, that and also when they do like he's going to die at a firing squad. Who whip out a cigarette and start smoking?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
They would like put all those like subliminal smoke messages.
Yes,
stuff
for the kids.
Well, no, that was
the kids to buy cigarettes.
That was an old school French Foreign Legion thing. All you know, the stereotypical Frenchman smokes. Yeah, so you know, a cigarette before you die.
Exactly.
Oh, for sure.
Again, French racism.
Yes.
Again with French racism.
And number one this week.
Number
speaking
one.
Of the French.
Speaking of the French.
Beauty and the Beast weekend gross $88 million.
Total of
$316 million.
Wow.
The
Disney machine just crushing it.
It is
crazy. It's a
brilliant model.
obviously number one movie of the year already financially.
Mm-hmm. Wow, really?
Yeah. Oh, at this one, how much is the total?
316.
316 already? Yeah, yeah, first movie to crack 300.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Right. That's a monster.
Yeah, because what, Rogue One came out December last year.
Rogue One is technically a 2016 movie. So Disney will have that movie. He will probably be.
Disney!
It'll be between that, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Wow.
It's all Disney.
And Star Wars Episode 8 in December, so they all have the top three grossing films of the year.
So instead of saying going to the movies, should we start saying I'm going to the Disney?
Like once a quarter. Because they own the box office.
They pretty much do, man. They own all those big franchises. They just made some real big power moves, man. They're smart.
Yeah, they are very smart. They spent, $4 or $5 billion on Star Wars, and it's obviously paying dividends already.
No, exactly. Oh, my God, the Star Wars acquisition was the best thing they could have ever done.
Yeah, the Marvel one, too, worked out for them.
Amazing.
At that point in time, the Marvel acquisition was risky. Sure. But they fucking did it right.
They did it right, yes.
But they had an idea, and they were like, but they knew they had a guy, Kevin Feige, working with Marvel. He was like, smart. We're giving you the reins as long as you're producing and you're showing us the dollar signs that we want to see, you can do what you got to do. And then they've been letting them do that.
And it's been a successful template for them. Obviously, they're carrying that over to Star Wars. They're learning how to create, sub-stories and build their characters and their universes. And they're doing it financially very successful.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's annoying.
It is
how
annoying.
How are they so good at it?
It's weird to watch our childhood kind of be stretched out like that and
exploited.
Puppeted in its own means.
Commodified. Absolutely. Well, you know what? That was the original intent of it, though.
No, but we do get a Star Wars movie every year, so it's kind of
every goddamn year, man. It's crazy. I guess the Han Solo one is next year.
As long as they're good, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that's the thing. As long as they're good, give me good movies.
Yeah,
I don't care what they are. I mean, shit. You'll watch that first 50 Shades of Grey movie.
Duh.
I knew it was gonna be bad, though. Didn't see the second one.
Why?
Because the reviews are so terrible.
But you'll see the third one, right? Only odd numbered.
Wow, it's going to make it. I'll only see a third one.
Of course it will.
I think it will. It made a decent amount of money. I will only see odd numbered 50 Shades of Grey. So I'll see 50 Shades Freed. They're not actually numbered, though. It's not like Paranormal Activities.
Right.
Those are numbered. I only see odd numbered Paranormal Activity movies. So I've seen 1 and 3.
Yeah, they work out.
I never saw 2 and 4. Okay. And then the fifth one didn't have a number on it. So it's like, I'm going to
screw that.
It was a side cool movie, actually. It was made with
Mexicans.
Yes, yes. It was set in South Central California, South Central Los Angeles.
It was
Mexican heavy because Hispanic audiences, demographically, they turn out more for horror films, especially ones that are like spiritual based or have to do with religion, evil, stuff like that.
Right.
It just stereotypically, that's just the truth, unfortunately. And so they made a very pandering, like Spanish heavy Paranormal Activity movie. And I was like, fuck you guys, you racist. Just because I'm Puerto Rican, you think I'm going to turn out for this? No, fuck you.
Screw you.
But what if they put a 5 on it, then I would have been, damn it, I got to go see this. This pandering piece of shit. I don't even know why I'm talking about that. Number one movie, Disney, kicking ass, good for them. New movies coming out on DVD. A lot of movies coming out on DVD this week, this Tuesday. Start with some of the smaller ones. A Monster Calls. Remember that one?
No.
Liam Neeson.
The tree.
Liam Neeson's the animated monster.
He's like, your mother has cancer. So I will comfort you as a monster. Something like that, right?
Yeah.
Why Him? The Bryan Cranston, James Franco movie. Remember that
one? I remember the preview for it.
Remember the previews?
Yeah. The previews. Saw so many previews.
Yeah, so many
previews. I made it about to the preview point of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, this looks so bad. And then the reviews came out. I was like, I thought so.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
We knew what it was.
The Martin Scorsese movie Silence comes out.
Fantastic.
It's a very long movie.
Very slow.
Make sure you drink your caffeine before you watch it.
Well put.
But it's good. It's his version of an Akira Kurosawa movie. I didn't see this one, Patriots Day.
Nope.
I don't want to see a movie about the Boston.
That was my thing. I think it's... I'm tired of seeing Mark Wahlberg just like... kind of stereotypically put in that part all the time.
Boom.
Sorry.
Boom.
Sorry.
That's what I was just about to say. That.
Like, guys, don't you want to see me playing a real American hero?
No.
Like what about the
movies? No, I don't.
Listen, you're going to be from a suburb in Boston. We're going to need you to get that dialect up.
I'm going to be from Boston.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a real fucking hero. I'm going to stop the terrorists. God damn it, Mark. Yeah, I'm sick of that shit, too.
So
man.
Sick of it.
No, he's just playing the guy he wants to be in real life.
Yeah.
Like, he really wants to be that guy. Yeah,
instead
he's not.
Instead of the guy who really is, who is a guy who got in a fight with an Asian dude in the late 80s and blinded him.
Right.
Dude,
it's
Marky Mark.
It's Marky Mark.
And his direction is like, just be yourself, Mark. Just be yourself.
Just be yourself.
Just be Marky Mark.
Just be Marky Mark.
It's cool. Just be Marky Mark.
These terrorists are going to blow up the marathon.
Wear your Calvin Klein underwear.
You're going to fucking track him down and you're going to be the big fucking hero.
That's right.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
be.
Never saw this one.
I watched it last weekend. I checked it.
And what did you think?
Well, you know, I have a little bit of a bias. I guess I'm not a Harry Potter fan. I really didn't get into the books. I've watched the movies kind of just by proxy because I've been around when they've been on.
I watched all the movies. I really didn't.
Have you seen them all?
I've seen them all, and I want to say I think. Maybe the appeal to this one is it's outside of the whole Harry Potter world
in
a way.
It's like 56 years earlier.
But it seems like more of like the adult version of what Harry Potter's going to be. It's going to be like adults with magical wizardly powers.
Because of grown-ups instead of kids.
Yeah, kind of. That's how I took it. I mean, it was okay, but it wasn't just like amazing.
Like if they stopped making... Because they plan on making 4 or 5 more of these.
Yeah,
If they stopped making them, you wouldn't be like, oh well.
Yeah, it wouldn't really bother
you. It wouldn't bother you. Yeah. Mm-hmm, fair enough. Yeah. I guess I'll get around to it. I never finished Harry Potter movies.
It's a visual delight like most of the Harry Potters are, you know?
I only saw 1 through 5.
Okay.
Never saw the last three.
The epic fight scene at the end is so underwhelming.
That's why
ridiculous.
It is.
They zap each other with their wands
movie's over. It's like, what?
Yeah. And then it's like, flash forward, Harry Potter's old or something.
It's so lame.
I don't know. I was like, that sounds pretty
Seriously, lame. Ray Fiennes would have put up way more of a fight in real life.
They spent 8 movies building up to this?
Yeah, it is fucking garbage.
Fair enough. Okay. I did see this movie. Drew saw this. We both liked it very much. 20th Century Women.
Yes.
It's a small little movie. Annette Bening.
I love her.
She plays she's a mom, right?
Aging mother, that's
an
all.
An aging mother. She's an older mother, single mom.
Older lady, yeah.
And her son is like 16, I guess. So she's got, raising this kid.
So it's that weird thing where she's getting older and so is he. Okay. And they're both
dealing with it.
Interesting. And the parallels of their lives, yes. More or less.
Yes. Kind of and he's got a friend played by, which Fanning is it? Dakota.
Okay.
L.
Yes.
The younger one.
Yes, the younger one.
The young one is L. Played by L. Fanning, and they're friends, and like he likes her, but she's like, I don't know, kind of toying with him a little bit. It's kind of weird.
Oh, no, she's totally toying with
him. Yeah, so and then there's another, a 20-year-old, no, she's like 20 or 30-something, Greta Gerwig's character, and living in the house with them, and so it's like about this kid, he's a teenager, and the women in his life, all different ages, and how they're influencing them, and whatever, and it's all set in the 70s. And it's really good.
Good. So it sounds like more of like an ensemble period piece kind of thing?
Yes. Cool. Drama, character drama, with some comedy for sure, because it definitely gets funny.
Oh, yeah.
I would recommend, there's another movie that came out a few years ago with Ewan McGregor and Christopher Plummer called Beginners. It's the same writer-director. Oh. That would actually make for a great double feature, Beginners and 20th Century Women.
Great.
Very similar in style, but telling pretty different stories. But they would make it for a good back-to-back. And they're also kind of short, like an hour and a half, maybe an hour 45. Set.
Yeah,
it's good. It's worth it. Worth checking out. There you go. New movies coming out on DVD. I said there was a lot of stuff. Not much coming out in the theaters, though. It's coming out in theaters.
The only thing we got in theaters is because The Boss Baby.
The Boss Baby, Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin plays a bossy baby.
Wow.
Yeah, he's like, give me a sushi roll. I'm a baby.
Definitely this new renaissance of Alec Baldwin. I like Alec Baldwin, but almost towing the line to to the Mark Wahlberg thing where I'm getting a little tired.
Getting tired of him. Yeah, me too. I've been on that line for a while.
Yeah.
This is like the third or fourth renaissance for the man. How many times is he going to rise and fall and rise? And fall.
He gets a lot of chances.
Yeah.
He really does, man.
It's weird.
He really does.
But so remember in the 90s when they were the Baldwin brothers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
That's how much sway Baldwin had. His brothers were coming with him in the orbit.
What happened to them?
Steven, now born-again Christian.
Okay.
So he's humping that horse.
Uh-huh.
Daniel just got old and fat really fast.
Okay.
and who's the old Billy? All poor, sad Billy. He did a couple movies.
Yeah.
And then people are like...
They tried to make him an action star, right?
They put him in a movie.
They tried to make him an action star, a comedy star. They tried to do a lot of things.
Wasn't he?
Billy.
He was in that movie with that really hot supermodel, and I never understood why.
Sidney Crawford.
Yes.
Fair Game.
Fair Game.
That was probably the last big movie he was in.
And that was his only chance. He just blew it.
They're like, we can't continue to hide the fact that this is the Baldwin that's a little downsy. It's like from certain angles, he looks very handsome. From other angles, he looks very dumb.
Yeah.
Come on. Biodome, bro.
He looks very lost.
Biodome. He played dumb really well.
Yeah.
But I think he's smarter than
that. Are you sure about that?
I've seen Usual Suspects.
Okay.
He was in Usual Suspects, Steven. I think that's all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel had a nice run on Homicide: Life on the Streets.
Oh, he did.
Which was also 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Sure. Once the 2000s rolled around, all those balls got kicked.
Sorry, man. It's Alex time.
And Alex was like, I'm sorry, guys. I gotta do this on my own.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men, Chris?
And if you think about it, all he had to do was call his daughter a pig on an answering machine message, and that just brought him back into the zeitgeist. That was crazy.
He's like, you little pig. Piggy, wink, wink, wink.
He's
like, whoa, Al, you're so wide. So mean.
And also coming out this weekend.
And then he was back a year later on 30 Rock.
Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
Apparently in South America, this movie is being called La Vigilante de Futuro.
the future vigilante.
I saw that on an Instagram post. Like, this is crazy. Ghost in the Shell coming out. Scarlett Johansson playing a Japanese lady. Mm-hmm. I think everyone else might be Japanese in the movie. So.
It looks the previews.
There's the white guy with...
white guy with crazy eyes.
With the crazy eyes. Yeah. But in the original anime, he was white guy with crazy eyes.
Oh, okay. So
it's been a while since I've seen it, but yeah. Right.
I haven't seen it since college, which is like...
Yeah, probably the last time I peeped it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it looks wild. And
it does look wild.
And speaking of 3D... when we went and saw Kong Skull Island, one of the few trailers they showed in 3D was the Ghost in the Shell one.
Ooh.
And when the trailer, I saw the Ghost in the Shell trailer like maybe six times.
It changes.
When you see it in 3D, it's like, whoa, really?
Well, no, because when we saw it in 3D, that was the first time I saw the scene where she breaks through the window and starts running up the wall and shooting everybody.
Yeah.
In all the trailers, you can see her. In the 3D trailer, she was cloaked. In her whatever cloaking mechanism was when she was when she broke through the window and when she was running up the wall, you only saw like a vague like squiggly outline. Of her.
They finished the special effect for a 3D trailer. Very interesting. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it is the same trailer. For example, both trailers start with the same shot of the city with all the advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
And when it started in 3D, it felt like a different shot entirely. Yeah. I was like, whoa, this thing pops
more depth and like
a pop,
tangible.
Like a pop-up
sense.
Book.
See, I love that. That's a good 3D transfer
I was like, holy shit. And then there were shots that just made more sense.
Very cool.
In 2D, there's like just shots of Scarlett Johansson and her character in a car, and it's like a weird color in front of her face, and ostensibly you're looking through the windshield, I guess, and you're seeing the reflection. It just looks odd. In 3D, it's like it's giving it depth and pop, and you're like, whoa, I'm actually looking through the windshield at her. So I think it's another case where it might be worth spending the extra couple bucks to see it with the stupid glasses that then makes everything that much darker. And I notice you're wearing eyeglasses. I gotta wear eyeglasses if I want to watch it in 3D, or else the 3D doesn't work. My eyes are straining to make the
pop
images
them
come
over
back.
The top or something. Oh. It's the struggle, unfortunately, sometimes.
The struggle is real, man.
It's real.
The struggle is real. So I'll probably end up seeing the future Vigilante in 3D.
Okay.
Most likely. It's
piqued my interest, for sure.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll let people know next week. All right, so that's it for new movies coming out in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Drew, that means it is time for, you know what time it is, Drew. It's time for our prescription for life from the good doctor. Doctor,
you must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Oh, shit. It wasn't supposed to stop. I was just going to try to give you one of these. At the end, I was going to blend it in, but then it just stopped it. That's annoying.
All right,
Drew. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Well, Chris, like you guys were talking about, Ghost in the Shell comes out this weekend.
Yes.
You know, Scarlett Johansson plays a Japanese lady.
Yes.
It also has the potential to be a giant piece of shit.
Yes.
So my recommendation is that you go back and watch the original animated version of Ghost in the Shell. It is an anime classic. You know, in the early 2000s when anime was doing that big push here in the States, you know, that was one of the originals that, you know, everybody saw. You know, it was Ghost in the Shell, Ninja Scroll, and Princess Mononoke. Okay. See, not many people know Fist of the North Star. Chris, you're one of the few.
It was even a video game.
I know. But anyway, so yeah, go back, catch up on some old school anime. It's fantastic stuff, and Ghost in the Shell. Ducks out.
Thank you, Drew. I appreciate it, buddy. Oh, you just said, oh, there's a lot of shit sticking around this fight. It's a tiny studio. We're all on top of each other.
I like it. It's intimate. I like
it. It is intimate, right?
Yeah.
We're all with each other's faces. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. Guess what? It's a good time. I'm grabbing my notes here as if I wrote down, but as you guys can see, it's blank. I forgot to write down what the music I was playing here. What am I playing? I can just share real quick. I'm playing, you know what? I wanted to get some songs from the Life soundtrack that we just saw because, like I said, very ponderous movie.
Very cool.
I really enjoyed the ending music.
Yeah,
yes. It was very bombastic, last song of the movie.
The ending music, it fit the ending. It I was just ending. Like, very, yes!
Very big music. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. But I couldn't find it fucking anywhere. So, to stick with sci-fi, space, and I've played this a bunch of times before, I have it available to me, the Solaris soundtrack, the Steven Soderbergh movie Solaris. I love that movie. I love the soundtrack. So use a couple of random songs from that, a couple of quick commercials, and then we'll be back with the second half of the show of Cinema Crest Meso with Drew and Tom. You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
All
Let's
right.
do it.
Here we go.
Yo, yo, what's good, world? This is your boy, Steezy, coming to you straight out of the Trap House. We are pumping out two brand new shows a week for you, featuring the illest open discussion in O-Town. We love highlighting local Orlando talent, including comedians, musicians, artists, and anyone with beer money. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to finally know what the heat of the week is and not feel like a downright herb, download Steezy's Trap House on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher today. Get booked.
What's up? It's your boy Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
That's right, guys.
Oh, yeah, Chris, put it in your mouth.
I forgot to take that drink of before hit record.
Yeah, there we go.
Drusa Cogburn.
Chris.
We're hanging out with Tom Borilli. Tom.
Hey.
From the ONO Radio Show. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Everyone glad feeling to be good? Back.
Yeah. What are you drinking over there, Drew?
Rum and Coke.
Rum and Coke? What kind of rum?
Sister Key rum.
Ooh. Nice. Good choice. Ooh. Very good choice.
What kind of Coke?
Pepsi 1895 or that whatever that weird nonsense is that they got out there.
This guy with the artisanal Pepsi.
Artisanal rum and artisanal Pepsi. Small batch both, motherfucker. What?
He's getting nostalgic with his Pepsi.
Oh, my supporters.
Those are your Pepsi supporters.
You know, I'm just going to accept it. The Nazis love me. It's okay.
Whoa.
Those are Nazis, Chris. I'm sorry. Any way you put it. I mean, I know they're labeled supporters, but those are German Nazi supporters.
German Nazi supporters?
I'm pretty sure I've heard that exact thing just, on like every single World War II documentary I've ever seen.
I think they're soccer supporters,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they're cheering on like Arsenal or...
I think they're cheering on Hitler.
Oh my goodness gracious, Drew. I'm going to have to get a better supporters button. We go through this every time.
You do.
Drew, where can people... We're going to do the plugs. Where can people find you online?
At Antihero 419
all over the interweb. I know.
What?
What? You got to keep it easy.
Why change it up?
Never do. Yeah, I'm the same way. And we got to keep it standard.
Yeah, right. We got to keep it. We got to keep saying it for new people who listen. They, this may be their first time listening.
All over the interwebs,
so,
Chris.
Antihero 419. If you got a minute, go ahead and let you know. And smoke weed every day. Also, if you are looking for a vacation in Cyprus this year. A cruise vacation, go ahead and email Drew, Juicer Cogburn Books, Greek Cruise Tours at drewneedsyourmoney.uk. And he'll respond to all those emails.
I will.
Immediately.
Guaranteed.
Tom, tell us about ONO Radio Show. Where can people find the show online?
Yeah, sure. Well, we have a website. It's onoradioshow.com. That nice. Basically has all the show archives on there, all the other little side things that we tend to do.
Nice.
And then we record live every Thursday night, and that's on Mixlr.com. So that's Mixlr.com/ONO Radio Show. We go on about 8:30 p.m. Thursday night if everything goes off without a hitch.
And I'm looking here. Let's see. You are up to with episode P. Von T. and Pee Pee Time.
That's right. It was most recent. That was Thursday.
Episode 288.
Yeah, we're gonna hit that 300 mark, I think, by the end of the year.
Yeah, the way you're going, in about 3 months.
Oh, boy.
As a matter of fact.
I wonder what Owen's going to do. It'll be fun.
Hopefully you can break off another hundo. That's what you should be doing. Slinging that tent.
That's right. Slinging it. Yes.
Don't look at me like that.
Doesn't Drew. Sound right. I'm sorry.
I like this catchphrase right. You're pushing. I do like
it. And when two guys look at each other with a smile on their face talking about slinging tent. Yeah, no. I'm sorry. No.
What's wrong, Drew?
No.
Well,
no.
You feel uncomfortable when I look you in the eyes and talk about slinging a tent?
Yeah.
Looking you deep in the eyes.
Real, real deep.
Deep in those dark dark browns.
I'm not buying that tent.
Talking about slinging that tent. You're not going to buy that tent?
Nope.
We're pushing the tent.
I want nothing to do with that tent.
She's slinging and pushing.
Slinging and pushing.
I want nothing to do with that tent.
Push the tent. Sling the tent.
That's right.
After you pitch tent.
See, now you're just talking about boners, Drew. What's wrong with you?
What are you talking about, Chris?
I'm talking about producing podcastual content for the ears of society.
That's a boners. Great one. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking about producing mouth words and making them into ear thoughts.
Ear candy boners. For everybody.
Yes, that then produces...
monetary boners.
Brain hemorrhages and monetary boners?
Monetary boners.
I mean, we could all hope for monetary boners. I mean, that's kind of all the communal kind
I've
of
never,
hope
I've never once achieved
here.
A monetary boner. I would, a monetary boner would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, it would be. I can't relate.
I feel like I could. See, now when we're syndicated in Gainesville in a couple weeks here, am I going to have to bleep out all this monetary boner stuff?
I don't know.
Can you say monetary boner on the
radio?
Are you going to have
the clean version of the show and then the regular version?
Just the bleeped version.
The bleep
version. I'm sending them the bleep version.
That would be fun.
That's it. So now I have to determine what can be bleeped and what...
Well, I mean, we're going to have to look up some FCC regulations.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're allowed to say monetary boners, but
Yeah, boner's a tough one.
I just don't want to get this station in trouble. They're gonna be so nice to syndicate us.
I know, right?
And then we're on there talking about boners.
Monetary boners.
Monetary boners. But they're monetary.
Yes.
Tom, where can people find you online?
I kind of keep a low profile. I have a Facebook page. If you want to stalk me, it's Tom Barile.
Okay.
That's Barile. Yeah. I am on Twitter. I kind of just go on there to say random things, and that's just at Tom Barile, TomBarile.
All right.
And I'm usually in charge of the Ono Radio Show Twitter, which is at The Real ONRS.
Why is it got to be the real one?
Who's because some one? Other idiot took ONRS. So that's a battle that we can't win. So we decided, man, screw that guy. We're just going to start another a Twitter account, but that's pretty much it for my imprint online, I'd say.
I can totally understand that particular struggle, because I am on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo, because some other motherfucker out there took Chris Crespo. Like, God damn it, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, who are you? You're no one. I am Chris Crespo.
No, he's Chris Crespo.
There's actually like at least 50 other Chris Crespo accounts out there, all various names numbers.
It's always funny. Or if you try to go get like a domain, like a .com, I mean, it's slim pickings, man. You're gonna get a .gov.
He got ChrisCrespo.com.
I got lucky there.
See, that's luck, man.
Yeah, I got lucky there at ChrisCrespo.com. Wow. Fortunately, all the other Chris Crespos out there are a bunch of slackers. So I have nothing to sell.
Dude, you're fast on
so
it.
So I got on it. So ChrisCrespo.com for past episodes of Cinema Crespo. So old reviews. I haven't written a review in a while, kind of phasing out the writing of the reviews. But we will be covering the Florida Film Festival here pretty soon.
Exciting. That's always a fun event. It's April, right? Coming up?
End of April, as a matter of fact. April 21st through the 30th. Drew and I will be picking up our press passes this Wednesday.
Is this a common thing you do every year?
Yeah, 4 years now, 5 years?
Yeah, 4 years covering. Running.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They're pretty sweet with giving us those press passes. We appreciate that, Enzian, and
yes,
Florida Film Fest.
Always try to get out to their midnight shorts every year.
Yeah, they're always good.
Oh, man. They
love me some midnight
shorts. Their midnight programming is pretty
good. It's very well put together.
Well, yeah. And they're
well, their programming in general.
Yeah,
very much so.
Their Tuesday programming is really good, too.
Yeah.
Also, when it comes to the film festival, I'm a big fan of pretty much everything they put out. Documentaries. They pick great documentaries. Their shorts. The comedies is where they falter a little bit. You know, it's like, who's...
Yeah, I think just for the straight
comedy,
someone
there's got a weird sense of humor because
I mean, I think the shocky stuff that's in the Midnight Shorts is pretty well picked through, but I agree.
Midnight Shorts
I always do. I'm always searching for that. Like, where's that breakout comedy that is always in every other festival?
But
yeah,
most of
the years. Yeah, they never come from. They're better at the documentaries and thrillers and but darker stuff. They're actually pretty good at picking
I'm very impressed with what they do there, and congrats on them for just keep going. I mean, what year is this for them?
They've been doing this 24, maybe 23.
That's real big. It's good for Florida too, man. It's good for us.
It's great for Florida. They put on a good festival, and so we're looking forward to covering that here pretty soon.
Awesome.
So you'll be able to go to ChrisCrespo.com for actual written reviews again, hopefully, of movies that I see there. We'll see.
Fantastic.
Between the all the stuff I'm already doing during the day, all the plans I got, the trivia, all the weddings I got lined up to solemnize.
You're a busy dude.
Busy guy. By the way, if you're looking for someone to officiate your wedding, hit me up. CinemaCrespo@gmail.com. I guess I have to come up with a new... Chris does weddings at gmail.com. Something like that. Just cinemacrespo@gmail.com and I'll do your wedding. We'll officiate it for $30. Low rock bottom price of $30. You literally cannot beat the price of $30
it's a wedding fire sale.
Yeah. And then I'll send you the detailed invoice for the other charges on top of the $30.
Wedding fire.
Wedding fire sale.
Interesting. Wedding fire.
I don't think brides like those words.
Wedding fire?
Wedding fire. No.
Oh, that sounds kind
of
cool.
Especially when you got the big dresses with a lot of fluffery.
That's too much flammable stuff at a wedding.
And if you want to wear a white wedding dress, you know, and give me the winky winky, like, I'll be cool, bro. Like, I know you're not supposed to be wearing white, but we can all pretend you're still,
sure.
You know,
yeah,
virginal.
Yes.
How do they even sell white wedding dresses anymore? How's that even a thing?
How do they even sell the color white, period?
Show me a virgin.
Yeah, it's a delusion.
Getting married. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We know you guys have been...
Old wives thing.
Your kids are the flowers, and your daughter's the flower girl. your son is doing valet outside. We know.
There's probably somebody that slept with you at the wedding.
Yes. Your wedding dress should be black.
Yes, it should be black.
Like your soul.
Cool. Like your corrupted soul. because the innocents died in the 60s with Leave It to Beaver when that show got canceled. Right? Oh,
yeah, for sure.
Right?
Out the window.
And then once we got the heathenism, that is the Beatles and the Monkees, it was all downhill from there. Immediately went to Rolling Stones and Black Sabbath. You saw how quickly it escalated?
Yeah, they just kind of propped the door open for it to then be kicked open.
Yes. You know what? Yeah, so now it's game over. Chris, now we have Marilyn Manson, Chris, and all these chicks with tattoos and just white wedding dresses. What is this?
Blame the British.
I'm Rush Limbaugh. We'll be back with
because all those early bands you just named were all British. All of them.
It is the British. It's the British.
That invasion.
The British invasion corrupted our morals. Mm-hmm. What was that? That was a little bit of...
I don't know what the fuck that was.
It was a bit of a Liverpool by way of Melbourne, Australia.
Yes, a little Australian in there.
All my voices are terrible. They're awful. I'm pretty...
You're not working on it, Chris.
I got the Bane one. It's pretty good, though. You have to admit, it's a pretty good Bane.
Chris.
That is pretty
It's a pretty good Bane, Drew. From the League of Shadows.
All it takes is a paper tube.
I'll take you to the League of Shadows. And you have to talk like Jeremy Irons in Die Hard 3. Because he was British, but doing a fake South American accent. It was weird.
British by way of Africa.
British by way of Argentina.
All right. Sorry about that. It's my Bane of mine.
Trickery right there.
It is trickery. It is
Don't give away the secret.
It's analog trickery. He just did with the...
Yeah, he kind of did.
All right, here we go. We're about to jump into a segment. But the randomizer... this could be... Here we go. Oh, shit. Atlanta is beating the New York Mets. The Braves are beating the Mets 1-0 in the in today's preseason baseball game.
So
that's your sports update for the month. That's your monthly sports update.
That's your monthly sports update.
This game in progress. There we go.
That's awesome.
Here we go. Drew, this year, you are 7-1. You're doing quite well in trivia. Drew Sacogman versus the world. Tom, you are the world. You are representing... the entire world, all 7 billion.
It's a lot, but I'll try.
No pressure.
Well, everyone
no
except pressure. Drew, so you're representing 6.909
Fuck the
billion.
World.
Yeah. Wish me luck.
This game is called Which Made More, and in honor of Beauty and the Beast being the highest grossing PG-13 movie, at least opening weekend so far. We're doing PG movies versus R-rated movies. Which made more? I'm going to tell you two movies. One's PG, one's R. You tell me which one made more money at the North American box office. Okay. Drew, you won last time, so you get to go first. You want Group A or Group B?
I'm going to go Group B.
Group B, here we go. Which one of these two movies made more money? Spy Kids or Watchmen? Yes. Spy Kids or Watchmen?
Spy Kids
made $112 million. Watchmen, $107 million. So that is correct. Number two, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Or Mad Max: Fury Road.
Ooh. Fuck.
Which made more?
Mad Max.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? $156 million. Mad Max: Fury Road. $154 million. I'm sorry, $2 million less. Which made more? Madagascar: Escape to Africa. That's the second one. Or The Revenant. Madagascar 2 or The Revenant?
The Revenant
made $183 million. Madagascar, $180 million. You are correct. Very good. Revenant made $3 million more dollars. Which made more? Brave. That's Pixar's Brave. Or Ted.
Brave
made $237 million. Ted, $218 million.
Yeah.
So very good. There you go. And finally, number five, which made more? The Lego Movie or The Hangover?
Tough one.
Damn.
Practically the same film.
Kind of.
Yeah, thinking so hard, making these thinking face, thinking noises.
The Lego Movie.
The Lego Movie made $257 million. The Hangover, $277 million.
Oh.
So 3 out of 5, Tom.
That was tough, bro.
You got a pretty good chance here.
Okay.
All right, you know the game. Here we go. Which made more? Number one, Space Jam or Aliens?
Oh, boy. Space Jam.
Space Jam made $90 million. Aliens made $85 million. That's correct. Good job. Number two, which made more, Frozen or The Passion of the Christ?
Wow. Okay. You're tough. I mean, I guess Frozen, because it was such a phenomenon.
It was a phenomenon. You're going with Frozen?
Sure, let's go.
Frozen made $400 million at the box office. Passion of the Christ, 370. So it was close, but Frozen for sure, number one. Number three, which made more, Night at the Museum, or There's Something About Mary. Both Ben Stiller. R-rated, PG?
I'm going to go Something About Mary.
Night at the Museum made $250 million. There's Something About Mary, $176 million. Okay. So there we go. That is incorrect. Still a lot of money, $176 million. Number four, which made more money? Beverly Hills Chihuahua or The Wolf of Wall Street?
I really hope The Wolf of Wall Street made more money than that. I'll throw it out there.
Based out of hope, here we go. Wolf of Wall Street made $116 million. Beverly Hills Chihuahua, $94 million. So that is correct.
I cannot believe that movie. I cannot believe Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
That even made that million. Much. That's a pretty good run.
That's why they ended up making like three Chihuahua. Of them. They did make like three
they
of them.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They have
three
a couple of direct-to-video sequels.
Direct-video.
I really want that that crossover. Wolf of Wall Street meets the Beverly Hills Chihuahua. That'd be pretty awesome. Okay, here we go. Number five. You get this right. You win. You get it wrong. We go to the tiebreaker. Number five. Which made more money? Three Men and a Baby. Or Bad Moms.
Three Men.
Three Men and a Baby. $167 million. Bad Moms. 113. That is correct. Congratulations, Tom. You win. Good job.
Good job, sir.
Good game, sir. Good game.
Handling Drew his second defeat of the year. Drew, you are 7-2. Still an impressive
record.
It's
a really good record.
Still a very impressive record. Okay, let's get into, let's jump right into the second half of the show. Everyone, check out the Oh No Radio Show, live every week, Thursday, 8:30, if you're free. If you're not available, it's a podcast.
Yeah, and it'll be available the next day on the website.
Is there any sort of a paywall situation, or can people go back and listen to episode one?
Basically, the archive is just available. You know, I know Owen and most of us are kind of working on kind of a membership thing this year.
But it's not up yet.
But check it out. Get in there and watch them all. Listen to them all. Get if you can now, zero, free of charge.
There you go, people.
Rush to it.
The paywall isn't up yet. So get back there and start listening.
That's right.
Because there's years worth of tent there that has been slung. Look me in the eyes,
there's
Drew.
So, there's
Look
been
me in
lots
the eyes.
Of slung tent.
Slung tent. That's slung. Right.
That makes it sound worse.
Doesn't it sound worse to begin with.
Yeah, slinging tent, I could go with. Slung tent.
Drew, look me in the eyes.
Slung tent. Okay, see, that's not creepy. I'm slinging that tent, Drew. It doesn't sound creepy. Drew, I'm slinging that tent. The voice effect makes it less creepy, Chris.
Drew, I'm slinging that tent, Drew. A little more dreams. Slightly more creepy, but not by much. Drew, I'm slinging that tent. That's fucking creepy. Drew, I'm slinging some tent for you. Please don't. We're slinging tent together, Drew. No, we're not. Come on, buddy. I'm definitely not slinging tent with you.
Drew.
No.
Slinging tent.
We really shouldn't do that. It was on the break. Bad idea. All right, let's get into. You mentioned your homie is Denver, the Colorado, the Mile High. What'd you call him?
He is the Mile High correspondent.
The Mile High correspondent. We have a New York City correspondent.
Awesome.
He is our homie Billy D. He does Death of the Movies every week, and he has an intro that we play, and it goes like this.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Oh, that's loud. Okay, here we go. Drew Cogburn, please, Billy D, hit us up. Why don't you take it away?
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
Spent the weekend in D.C. visiting with family, and I watched a bunch of stuff. One of the movies I caught was a documentary on HBO. As someone who came of age during the Wild West era of the internet, I've seen a lot of viral trends come and go. Mm. One of my favorite viral trends is the creepypasta. I've spent many nights and days searching for the bottom of some internet rabbit hole I've slipped into. The HBO doc Beware the Slenderman explores one of the most popular characters of online folklore, ooh, and a very disturbing criminal case in which two 13-year-old girls stabbed a close friend 19 times in order to sacrifice her to Slenderman.
Yeah, that was a sad story a couple years ago. Oh, there's infamous Drewster cough. People are really worried about that cough, Drew.
I'm dying, Chris. It's okay. Really,
oh, he's fine. Okay, don't worry about it, people.
It's fine.
It's very foreshadowing.
It is foreshadowing. Yeah, talk about Slenderman and these girls and all that stuff. So Drew's going to have to sacrifice someone to the Slenderman to save himself. That is a bummer of a story, though. Those
Chris
girls.
Is going to be you.
And it's so, like... Yeah. The Slenderman was like 100 or 200. It's not the boogeyman.
No.
Slenderman was invented like 5 years ago.
If that.
Yeah. And it's just kind of stuck around in the wings for a while, the whole idea of it, the story of it. I watched the documentary as well. It kept you interested and watched it to the end for the most part.
All right, there you go. Okay.
This doc is similar to Paradise Lost, the doc about the West Memphis 3, in the way that the filmmakers jumped into the case fast and had access to the families and the defendants throughout the preliminary hearings. But unlike Paradise Lost, there is no great mystery to unfold, and the film suffers because of this. The girls confess readily, and the victims survived the attack. The doc also doesn't delve deep enough into the internet folklore for my liking. There's an interesting and compelling story here. This team has just missed the mark. Maybe once the trial happens, there will be an updated version, but for now, this seemed very incomplete. You can still catch it on HBO Go and on demand if you are curious about internet folklore as I am. Stay cool, Billy D.
Speaking of the creepypasta stuff, I'll use that as an opportunity to remind people, if it's available in any way, check out the Sci-Fi Channel show Channel Zero.
Oh, it's awesome.
Oh, it's right.
Creepy. Out of nowhere, too.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I feel though, in a day and age where Stranger Things came out, it overshadowed a show like that.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. Yeah. Billy
but it
D,
was a hit. I really liked it.
Our homie Billy D said the same thing. He said it's Stranger Things for adults.
Yeah.
What it is.
Even a darker Stranger Things. Yes, 100%. It really goes there.
It got so creepy. That last episode was insane.
Hell yeah. Are they coming back? Is it an anthology series?
Yes.
Very fun.
They are doing season 2. And it's a whole other creepypasta submitted story. And they have announced which one it is, but I forgot.
Oh, okay.
I think they may have picked the best creepypasta, though, for the first season. The Candle Cove, the original story thing, is already itself pretty well written.
Yes, it is.
Well conceived. And then they took that and really ran with it. Man, that show. The Tooth Child. What was that?
What was that, man?
What was that, right?
Yeah, it's just like, where the hell did that come from?
Half that show had you thinking, like, what is this? What's going on?
Exactly.
Man, that was good stuff. So thanks, Billy, for the Slender Man. What's it called? Beware
the Slender Man.
Beware the Slender Man. Yeah. Thank you for the review of that. Now, if anyone else has a review or anything they want to talk about, they can send it to us via email, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, and we'll read it in the segment of the people, the voice of the people that we call the Vox Populi. Here we go.
That moment you've all been waiting for, the world-famous
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox
Populi.
Now, here's the thing. I say that we'll read it, but really, Drewster's the one who reads it, and then I sit here and I listen. Yeah. So go ahead, Drew. What we got?
Oh, I got an email from Ron out in L.A.
Our homie Ron, he's working to be our L.A. correspondent. Our big gay black L.A. correspondent, which,
nice.
It's awesome to have that in the quiver in there to add a little bit to the diversity. So no offense, Tom. You seem like a very nice guy. We just met today.
Oh, sure.
But you're a very nice gentleman. We enjoy having you in. But it's a parade of white dudes on the show.
I can imagine. It's like that with our show, too. You know?
I know, right?
It's a bunch of white dudes.
For some reason, Orlando podcast seems kind of whitewashed.
It's very easy to find.
Kind of whitewashed.
Easy to find white guys who are eager to give their opinion about stuff. We're happy to have them on. It's great.
Chris,
for slinging the tent.
Chris, you're a full-blooded Puerto Rican, but you are an honorary white guy.
I'm an honorary white guy. I've known more white people in my life than I know any other. Even growing up with Puerto Ricans, it's like, where are all your friends? All those white guys over there. So, I mean, it's just the way it is. All that being said, Ron, we love having Ron as our L.A. correspondent. He hit us up just in time. I gotta say, Ron, too, we got that email, during the start of the second half of the show. And Drew's gonna read it first. Here we go.
I went to see the Power Rangers movie, yes, and I liked it.
Thank you, Ron. Someone's gotta do it. We appreciate you doing it.
I heard it described only, but it's a mix of Breakfast Club and Voltron. It's pretty straightforward plot on how it's going and what's going on. But the darker twists that I use are new and refreshing. Bryan Cranston and Elizabeth Banks are good star power and seem to have fun with the roles. The teen actors seem passable, and they each bring angst that is needed to sell it. A lot of kids in the theater seem to be like, what's going on? This film is made for the 30-year-olds to show their preteen kids, saying, hey, this is what made me who I am. The outcasts win the day in the end, but which outcast has the right to win? These are the things you leave the theater with your mind as you reflect upon the movie. Mm-hmm. Solid end for nostalgia rating. I'm going to try and get a preview screening of a high-profile film on Tuesday. If you guess it, I can tell if you said it. I think that how I can get around the DNA... the non-disclosure agreement.
Yes.
So if we guess, yeah, then he'll know. I am also planning to see the horror flick Raw on Monday. That should be different. So I leave the Chris guest and the gallant and galvanizing Drew with a question. What animal and color would be your Zord? I've seen a lot of incarnations on the show. There have been frogs, lions, dragons, beetles, phoenix, and a whole menagerie of things. What would you guys like to drive and be badass in?
Interesting.
I would probably be like a taupe-colored sloth. And I would just take my time getting there, and by the time you guys finish fighting, I would show up in my, like, guys, what happened? Guys.
Live slow, die whenever, bro.
And then you're also like, guys, I got these giant claws. I am ready to fuck shit up.
Wait, I just gotta get
destroyed
there.
You destroyed them already? I just got here, you know?
Taupe colored.
Taupe, yes.
I like that.
It's an off-white kind of bone.
You know, exactly, but or a bone would work.
I'd go... See, I want to say Tiger initially because Voltron. Well, the kids after us grew up with the Power Rangers, and now the kids are getting Power Rangers. I was in that sweet spot where I got Voltron.
Well, no, exactly. Well,
which was probably a big inspiration.
Well, we were in the sweet spot.
Yeah, exactly.
We were post-Voltron, pre-Power Rangers.
Yeah.
So we got Voltron and syndication, and we were just a little bit too old for the Power Rangers.
I was too old for Power Rangers when Power Rangers came out, but I was the right age.
I was just too old.
But I had younger cousins that were wrapped in the phenomenon, so I always could remember just like seeing the toys and then being over and just like watching the show, as ridiculous as it was.
Yeah.
But it was a total phenomenon.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
look at it now.
It was everywhere. My younger brother was the right age for Power Rangers.
Oh, same.
So he watched the hell out of that. So I want to say they were lions, right?
Yes.
Voltron is lions.
Oh yeah.
So I want to say lions because of Voltron.
Yeah.
But that feels like a cop out. So I'll go ahead. Stick with Kong. I'll be a giant gorilla.
Cool.
But like a thistle colored one. So like
a thistle?
Sort of like a purplish.
I like that.
I like purple.
Thistle.
I'll be a thistle gorilla. Suppose a silverback gorilla. A thistle fronted gorilla.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love it.
A thistle front gorilla slinging that tent all across the giant monsters that I'm fighting. Yeah, Drew, no. Drew doesn't seem to. He's just covered his face in horror. Do you have one?
Hard.
Do you have an idea who you would...
I mean, I was thinking about it, but this thistle front of gorilla's got me fucked up in the head.
Just imagining it.
Yeah. My brain doesn't even work anymore. I can't think right now.
No, I'm sorry.
Fuck me up, buddy.
Tom, are you on Instagram?
I am. It's I used the name so people couldn't find me on there. It's at Anecdope, A-N-E-C-D-O-P-E.
A-N-E-C-D-O-P-E.
Like anecdote.
Like anecdote.
I like it.
I'm dope.
I like it. That's one of the few instances where, no one's going to find that.
Thank you. And that was my reasoning. So I have to hide it very deep so some of my employers can't see it.
Oh, are you trying to hide it? Well, then I won't tag it.
No, tag away.
Okay. I'm just doing some social media.
Wear this with pride. I'm glad to be on the show.
Oh, I appreciate it. Well, I understand, though, trying to hide from, like, employers and stuff there, too. I get that one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't do it with a lot of things. I just figured I would use the one social media account to be like, hey, man, if you really want to find it, you gotta ask me.
And are you also, Ono Radio Show Instagram account?
Yes, there is, actually. That's just straight up, I think, Ono Radio Show. And I think Zach runs that. He does a good job running that.
Radio Show. Very cool. All right.
Drew, Insta.
At Insta?
Yeah. Oh, no, just at that Insta.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's a good site.
It is pretty good. You know, that's the thing with social media. There's so many different ones. You just kind of have to pick a couple of them.
Yeah.
And just be good at those. You can't be expected to be good at all of them. I ignore Snapchat.
It's a bit much.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's too much. I ignore Snapchat.
It's so
I don't
much
do...
juggling, you know, exactly. With all the social media.
And then, like, where do I put this content? Yeah. Do I put it there? Is it bad form to
put
repeat the content everywhere?
I thought you were slinging that tent everywhere.
You are. No, we're...
He's slinging that visual tent on Insta, though.
Yeah, the visual tent is a little different.
That's good.
How much can you...
See, that sounds even worse.
How much can you repeat that visual tent? It sounds worse to repeat the visual tent?
Go ahead.
We gotta.
No, just the visual tent. The whole visual tent thing. That sounds pretty awesome.
What's wrong with repeating visual tent?
Nothing's wrong with that. Just visual tent.
I know when you're talking about visual tent, you want to be anonymous when you do it. So that's why I put on the anonymous sound effect. So now people don't know who we are.
Of course.
They've listened to the whole episode, but they have no idea.
No, we're not.
That's me and Jordan talking.
Yeah. Can
people even, that's a really low tone. Can you even understand what we're saying?
That might be a little bit better. Probably. Yeah, we still sound like monsters, but not like people can understand who we are. Yeah.
That's good, because you are a monster.
You're a monster.
You're a tense-looking monster.
No, you're a monster. No, I'm anonymous Bane. Does that work?
It doesn't work, because the voice, we know who you are.
Like, what if Bane sat in a shadow, but then they gave him anonymous voice?
Yeah.
Like,
in a league of shadows?
And then Batman, yes! It's like intergalactic Bane.
Very, very Shadow King of you.
Drew, you still haven't said your giant Zord animal or color.
Ooh, I'll be
bated breath over here, man.
I'll be a giant cyan raccoon.
Drew loves cyan and magenta.
Awesome. Yes,
cyan raccoon.
Yes.
Like do you just jump out of a dumpster? And you're just like,
yeah, no,
exactly. See,
I also have opposable thumbs. Those opposable thumbs are fucking important.
Very smart.
And don't discount that tail, man. That tail, whipping that big ass tail around.
Is it prehensile?
Say what?
Prehensile tail? Can he use it to grab stuff?
I don't know. No.
Nah.
Well, I don't know. It's a robot. It can do whatever the fuck it wants,
that's
I guess.
True. Right.
Actually, you can program it. Screw that. My tail's a giant rocket launcher.
That's cool. Cause love it.
It's a robot.
That gets one of these.
Yes, it does.
Straight up just polite audience applause.
That is innovation.
Innovative Drew Sikogren. Thank you, Drew. All right. What's next?
We got an email from Doug.
What's up, Doug?
Holy shit. Tickled has hung... Oh, wait. Tickled? Yeah. Okay. Holy shit. Tickled has hung around in whatever the movie, movie recommended.
All right. Take two. Action.
Holy shit. Tickled has hung around in whatever the movie recommendation version of Peripheral Vision is for me for a little less than a year now.
Oh.
I mostly hadn't caught it because I didn't want an outlet to see it. I didn't have an outlet to see it on. But when Chris said it was streaming on HBO Go, I immediately stopped the podcast and went to watch it.
Talking about that movie, Tickle.
Okay.
Have you seen that one?
I have not seen it, but I'm aware of what it is.
Totally
yes.
Worth watching.
Really?
100%.
Okay.
Yes.
I gotta say this again. Holy shit.
There we go.
Chris really fucked my worldview up with this one.
I didn't make the movie. I just recommended it. Why are you saying I fucked your worldview?
What a great documentary. I don't know what to say about this without spoiling anything. I guess all I can do is tell the listeners to watch this any way they can. Save up your milk money, sell non-vital organs, pawn your grandma's TV for heroin, okay, and then sell the heroin for a one-month subscription to HBO Now.
That's an elaborate plan.
Rarely is there a doc that comes along that will suck you in like this. This must be the kind of satisfaction conspiracy theorists feel. Wow. Go out and watch Tickled promptly. Also, if you haven't seen The Imposter, I highly recommend it as a companion piece to Tickled.
That was good.
It's a documentary on Netflix. And without giving too much away, it's about a French guy who claims to be the missing son of a family in Texas. Even though he doesn't look or talk like the boy, and the boy is 7 years older, the family accepts him as their actual son.
So weird.
It's weird and great.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Doug.
That is a weird fucking...
It's very perfect. Weird and great. That's a good description of it.
The Imposter's good, and that would actually make for a pretty good twofer there.
Cool.
If we're doing more documentaries. Tickled and The Imposter would be good.
Great.
I totally recommend that for sure. It's only like an hour and a half.
Okay.
And, like, I told you when, on the bonus episode we just did, I reviewed Tickled. Within the first 10 minutes, you're throwing a curveball. You're like, what? Wait, what? and then they keep coming. Like, every 10 minutes they keep coming. You're like, what the fuck? This rabbit hole gets deeper and deeper.
That's cool.
And then every now and then the people making it's just a couple of journalists. There's a journalist from New Zealand who made the whole thing.
Okay.
And, he makes a couple of decisions where you're like, no, why are you doing? It's all on camera. You're like, no, this is crazy. And I forgot to mention this on the bonus episode. So the Tickled documentary, for people who don't know what I'm talking about, it's a movie about a guy who he finds a subculture online of athletic endurance tickling and how they find people.
They're
paying young men to do these videos, this strange company called Jane O'Brien Media. And when he tries to get information about them, he gets stonewalled. And that makes him want to find out more. He's like, oh, you don't want your information out there? Well, now I want to put it out there, right? Along the way, since these people, they're like, no, we don't want our tickled videos out there for the public. He finds someone else who he has a tickle fetish, and he does his own tickle videos, but he does it like very openly, like
is what I do. Either you're into it or you're not.
Yeah, this is my fetish, is what I do. And like they even showed them like doing the video, someone agrees, like, yeah, I'll do this for your documentary, and there's no nudity involved, it's straight up just the tickling. But it can still get weirdly sexual, obviously.
Sure, sure.
And this guy's very open about it. So, yeah, this is why I do it, this is what I'm into. You know, the opposite of the subject of the documentary, right? But then they throw out there, it's like, oh, so we found someone who does these videos and who's very willing to talk to us, and we went down to Florida to go see him. And then there's a shot of like a panning shot from a car, obviously, of like just when, you know, they suck the camera out the window as you're driving. Yeah. And I'm like, is that, that looks like a water park in a hotel resort area. Is that iDrive? And then they and they show up at this guy's house and they're talking to him, and then the guy, the New Zealand dude who's doing the interview, he's wearing a shirt that he obviously bought at a fucking gift shop. Souvenir shirts, 50 for $5. And it's like some crazy tie-dye shirt or something that says Orlando on it.
Busted.
Here we go. This guy's in Orlando. Tickle guy is in Orlando for
Putting
sure.
Putting us on the map.
Hey, you know. You got to do something. You got to get noticed somehow. So Doug liked it. Fucked up his worldview. Tom, fuck up
the
worldview.
I'm going to get fucked up. I'm going to check it out.
Very cool. There you go. Thanks, Doug. We appreciate it. Is that it for the Vox Populi?
That's everything.
All right, here we go. Let's get into some quick movie news. And then we have that movie news segment, actually. Intro.
Check out Justin my favorite intro. And Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating
getaway.
The holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beach?
That's right, Chris. So, movie news segment. This is when we talk about hot beach bods, celebrity divorces, and what's most important.
What's going on with the Biebs?
We need to know what's going on with the Biebs. Tom, what is this week's Justin Bieber update? What's going on with the Biebs?
I feel like he's just being Justin Bieber. He's making up his own rules. He plays by his own game.
Yeah.
He's kind of rude to his fans.
He is kind of rude to his fans, yeah.
And I still don't know why he's famous. And we're still trying to figure that out.
We're still
correct.
There you go. Perfect.
All right.
Tom with the Biebs update. Thank you very much.
You got it.
Man, it's amazing how few people have a good Biebs update. Yeah. You had a good one. We
all
appreciate
right.
that, Tom.
Okay.
Quick movie news things here real quick. The Justice League trailer plopped. Mm-hmm. Have you guys had a chance to look at it?
Yeah. I've seen it twice now,
I have one question. Where the fuck is Superman?
Yeah, well...
That's a question a lot of people have had.
I feel like that will be answered, but they're gonna. That's probably a tease, right?
He is not in any of the promotional material. Not a single piece.
I think that's probably on purpose.
Yeah, obviously on purpose. If people remember at the end of Batman v Superman, Superman is dead at the end of that movie.
Yeah, Homeboy's getting lowered into the ground.
But then they show that the dirt is like rising, so he's coming back, right? They've also... Henry Cavill himself, we talked about this on the show months ago, teased on Instagram.
He did.
He put out a picture of the Superman suit, a close-up of it, just
so
you saw the black
suit.
Let
me guess, black with the silver S.
All I'm going to ask is that they give him that shoulder bob hair, too, man. Give me that long Nicolas Cage Con Air hair, and we're talking
He
now.
Does need a mullet. They did show another picture of him in a red suit, in the normal blue suit.
Oh, cool.
They did with a lot of green screen, a production shot, and his hair, he wasn't doing a mullet, but his hair was longer, and his curl was curlier. Like, it was more of a pronounced Superman haircut. It's kind of weird. He's in the movie for sure. I think part of it, maybe because part of the movie is going to deal with him coming back, and they're just going to hide all that stuff because it'd be too confusing for marketing.
I guess.
I think part of it may be that maybe he's going to be like the manipulated bad guy. Superman's going to be kind of like controlled and evil in this. In fashion of a lot of these movies, you hide the villain. For most of the marketing until it gets towards the end, closer to the movie comes out, Superman's gonna be the villain. They don't want it to be like Batman versus Superman again, you know, but that's where they're going with it, maybe.
That's interesting.
That's a theory.
Or if it's just like a quick drop third act thing where it's like, he's back, everybody. Here
right,
he is.
Exactly. So that's the thing. I think they're afraid to sell Superman as part of this movie when he's gonna be a smaller part. And really, the movie's gonna be about
the assembly of the Justice League.
What did you guys think?
Which is strange, too, because like Superman is like...
Superman's the one who assembles it.
Very much so. if you want to go true to the comic books.
When you think comic books, I think...
Batman's a loner.
Yes, exactly. Yes, he is. I think Justice League, I think Superman's in charge of it. He's got everybody else. Batman comes in and out as he pleases.
But not in the movie, not in the, yeah. according to the trailer. Batman's the one going around Wonder Woman like, we need to get everyone.
They've given Batman that bigger, meatier role.
Does it make any fucking sense?
It makes fucking sense financially.
Yes, it does.
Remember, Drew, when we talked about the only six comic book movies have ever grossed $1 billion or more worldwide. Four of them feature Iron Man, two of them feature Batman.
Yeah.
So if you want to make a movie with a lot of money,
yeah.
only two other comic book movies have made over $800 million. One of them was Batman vs. Superman. You know? You want Batman in your movie as much as possible.
Yeah, you do.
You know, it's a financial reason.
You
know what that makes me think, Chris?
What does it make you think?
This movie's going to be a giant piece of shit because they're writing the story based on financial predictions.
Of course, 100%. But what did you think of the trailer then? Does the trailer make you think the movie's going to be a piece
of shit? I really didn't like the trailer.
Didn't like the trailer?
No.
How did you think, Tom?
I go back to a year and a half ago when the Batman versus Superman trailer came out, and I feel like it's deja vu all over again, and I feel I'm a little jaded to like get super excited about it.
Weirdly underwhelming.
I'll hold my breath. Well, but, it was in moments visually fun, but it just kind of seems like the same shtick that DC and Snyder keep making.
It does seem like they are pushing the comedic aspects more in the trailer.
Trying to show it's very true.
Jason
Momoa.
I gotta say, I like the Momoa stuff. First off, Aquaman is such a toss-off character.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Right? So they're like, all right, well, let's make him a big badass.
For sure.
With an awesome suit, making quips. You know what? I don't care if you want to change him to that.
That's fine.
No one gives a fuck about Aquaman before that, right?
Yeah, right.
So when he shows up on the roof and he sees Batman, he's like, oh, it's just something like, oh, so you dress up like a bat, huh? He's like, all right, cool. And he makes like a weird toss-off comment about that. And then Batman looks at Alfred and he makes kind of like, I'm not going to be doing this too much, you know? Like, this is a temporary deal. I kind of dig that they're going that route. Because the main concern with the DC movies is that they've become too serious.
Very much so.
Too gritty, too dark for the most part. So I don't want to say that it's good that they're copying Marvel, but maybe going a little lighter with it.
I think so. I think they got to lighten up. I saw something the other day, an article that mentioned just what you said about like kind of the gloom and doom that tends to hang over the DC universe.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm not saying you got to bump up your color spectrum or anything.
Which they obviously didn't do.
No way. It's got all the palettes of Batman versus Superman already.
It's all nighttime. It's all dark. It's all blues.
Yeah, man,
I had to turn up the brightness on my phone. I was like, this is way too dark, man. I can't see shit. But yeah, so they lightened up with the comedy, but it's still dark as fuck. Anything involving the Flash, it looks like they're going comedy with him, with Ezra Miller.
Yeah, it looks like they are.
Which I'm fine with, you know, overall. And also, a lot of Cyborg.
A lot of Cyborg in this one. It's interesting, because it's like, they've really teased the Justice League thing for years now, so now that we get to see these other kind of non-Batman and Superman characters, I do hope they give them their due, and they make them human, and they try to make them... I know the goal is to always have a spin-off movie, but it's like, you know, make this movie a good ensemble movie.
I agree.
Here's the thing, though. We've seen a DC ensemble movie. In the 2 hours that they're going to give us, so we're going to have to get how many story arcs?
I know.
Are you referring
to like Suicide Squad?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be the same.
What a problem.
It's going to be the same thing. We have two characters that we know everything about and don't need story on. We have three new characters.
You're talking about Batman, Superman.
Yes. Maybe three, depending if you watch the Flash series or not.
Sticking to this movie series particularly, you have to remember that Wonder Woman comes out before Justice
League. Oh, that's right. I saw that.
So if you see Wonder Woman, then you're going to have the whole Wonder Woman backstory.
That context.
You will have context for her, Batman, et cetera, et cetera. So now you're down to Cyborg and Flash.
Well, no, I mean, if you watch the TV series, then you know the Flash.
Even if you don't watch the TV series, Flash is a character, at least on the periphery, you know who Flash is. I mean,
very much so.
He's a fast guy.
Yeah, sure.
He's got a lightning bolt on his chest. That's what you really need to know. The other stuff can be learned over time. The fact that he can run fast enough to break time barriers, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, right.
Cyborg is the one that's going to confuse the most people on the surface level, except for the kids.
Yeah,
that's why there's so much Cyborg in the movie.
From the cartoon.
The cartoon. Cyborg is huge in the cartoons. He's the leader of the groups and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He's proven to be a very popular character with the youth and the younger generation, and I'm an old man.
For sure.
So I think that's why you're seeing more Cyborg also in the trailers, and why they're pushing him, because younger people know that character.
Yeah, they do. They do. I agree with Drew. I think the problem with the prior attempt with Batman versus Superman is it was just really... It was packing way too big of multiple stories into a 2.5 hour just circus, really. It was just so much information to take in. If you're not a fan, you're lost, man. You don't know what the hell is going on.
Even at that length, it was like, what is this?
It was an opus.
And then they squeezed in Doomsday at the end. It was like a third act reveal.
They did, man. I was like, really? Come on.
And then the design was like, they had leftover troll design from Lord of the Rings, or even the troll from the first Harry Potter movie.
Yeah,
it's like, man, put another sheen on him. And
I'm just not a fan of what DC is doing over there.
It's a bummer.
I mean, they have great material. They're just going. They need to find their own way of doing things instead of trying to copy Marvel.
I can't because trying agree
to copy trying to copy Marvel is not working for them.
And I think too, a lot of it is. I don't want to insult them, but I think a lot of it's vision too. And I think I'm not particularly a huge Zack Snyder fan.
You see,
I think he's a really good visual director, and that's what really got him the job in the first place. Is the guy could take 300 and adapt. He could adapt a scene like if there's no tomorrow. Yeah. But it's just there's so much missing from the heart and the realism that I almost think Marvel just knocked out of the park.
I think Sucker Punch proved that Zack Snyder's not much of a writer.
No.
Visually, he is great, but writing-wise...
Yeah, hard, man. Yeah, and he's really heading up just the meat and potatoes and the big parts of this universe.
Yeah, absolutely. They've given him a lot of leeway, a lot of creative control. That's part of why they brought in Ben Affleck as producer for the Batman stuff. So to help balance some of the Zack Snyder stuff, but now all the pressure of all this shit, it has driven Ben Affleck back to the drink, so he had to check himself into rehab.
He crumbled under that pressure, unfortunately. I hope that this addition of Matt Reeves in the universe is going to help shape it a little more. I really dig what he has done on his own with Apes and
those Apes movies are solid.
And I'm telling you, I think that it was exciting to think that Ben Affleck maybe could pull that off, but I think he's biting off more than he can chew. Just act in it. Get a really visual director in there, a guy that can shape that story.
I think a big problem, too, is that we keep forgetting he put out Live by Night this past December.
Which was a horrible flop, correct?
It flopped, and critically not well-liked either.
Oh, okay.
So it's a fourth movie that he wrote and directed, and it's the first of them to not do well on any level.
Oh, wow.
That first movie, Gone Baby Gone...
It was amazing.
I liked it, yeah.
Critically, loved. People really impressed by it. Didn't make that much money, though, because people were like, Casey Affleck, you know? You don't want to see this.
Yeah.
But then Town and Argo, obviously we all know how well those movies did, so he was like kind of 3 for 3 when it comes to making movies. Live by Night, people very underwhelming for people. Also, Warner Brothers movie. Oh. So there's some word that then Warner Brothers went to Ben Affleck, like, we don't know now. Are you losing the juice? This is a what have you done for me lately type of town.
Because him stepping away from the Batman was basically, if I'm correct, on the hinges of that film also
It came right after that, like a month after that.
Wow.
So a lot of people thought those were directly connected.
I bet,
and then Ben Affleck put out the whole, I just got out of rehab. So everyone's like, oh, that makes more sense. Maybe it'll be a blessing then that Matt Reeves comes on the war for the Planet of the Apes. After he's done with that, he gets to then start working on the Batman.
Fun. Cool. I can't wait for that. Let's hope he knocks it out of the park.
We will see. Now, we were talking earlier, speaking of comic book movies, we were talking a lot about Fox and how they seem to be doing well, at least with taking chances.
At least with these two movies that they've made.
They got two now, Logan and Deadpool, two in a row.
How many Spider-Man movies did they make?
None.
I thought it was on Fox.
No. That was Universal.
Interesting.
No, they did. Fox is, when it comes to Marvel, they're responsible for X-Men 1, 2, 3, First Class, Days of Future Past, and Apocalypse.
So all the Bryan Singer.
Yes. Yeah, all the Bryan Singer ones. Series. Technically, I guess that would be X-Men 1 through 6.
Yeah. Wow.
And then the three Wolverine movies, X-Men Origins Wolverine. No good. The Wolverine, fine. And then Logan, which is like how is this even the same
seriously,
people?
It's like the Mad Max Fury Road of Wolverine.
The jump in quality. I even like the Wolverine. The jump in quality from the Wolverine to Logan is
now was that also James Mangold?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, which is why when for Logan, I was expecting another movie on the level of the Wolverine, or just like passable.
I respect him as a director, and I know you guys had actually on your show talked about it too. I think it's very interesting to watch. I unfortunately have not seen Logan yet, but I have just heard in comparison to the Wolverine, it's like it is night and day.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild. I think the fact that it's the last of the Wolverine movies freed him from certain shackles that he's like, okay, I can really sink my teeth into this and make something that's like even better than Copland, which is crazy. Because I would think Copland was probably the best James Mangold movie, and now it's Logan.
It is a pretty awesome movie, yeah. Wow, it's pretty, okay.
It's pretty wild. But going back to Fox, so they did the X-Men movies, and then speaking of movies that they failed on, they've done the Fantastic Four movies.
That has a curse over its head, yes, unfortunately.
It was just crazy. They did Fantastic Four and then Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer with directed by friend of the show, Tim Story. Yeah. Our homie Cool Carl knows Tim, so we can sort of weird.
Oh, that's cool.
I guess Six Degrees of Kevin there. Bacon type of thing, right? Which then, like, do I feel bad about shitting on those movies? No, I don't. Those movies are fucking garbage. And I've told Carl too. Like, those movies aren't very good.
He's like, I know.
He's like, it's fine. It's cool.
They just kind of just act like they don't really care about that particular story. That's the thing. Yeah. No one's coming into it with any vision.
Because then with the last one, well, that's the thing. The last one, directed by Josh Trank, the guy who did Chronicle, they had a vision
it. There was a vision.
Yeah, what the hell happened to that guy?
And Fox freaked out.
And they pulled him off a Star Wars movie too, right?
Yes, he did, or he left. I don't think he got
pulled. Was he Rogue One originally?
Well, that's, he was... Was he Rogue One originally?
Before Godzilla guy came in?
Was he? Because he was... No, I think
they didn't, it was another, maybe.
They didn't announce which Star Wars movie he was working on. Maybe it was a Han Solo one.
Oh, yeah, you know it might have been. Because I just remember it being like, it happened in a span of like a week.
Yeah, yeah, he had a bad week. He had a really bad week. Yeah. And no one's heard from him since. But no, we had a friend of the show, Nikki Wilson, who's been on a couple of times now. Three times now, right?
We heard that story.
Yeah, she's come on. If you go back and look for the first Nikki Wilson episode, I can go ahead and tell you people which episode that is specifically.
Oh, yeah,
as a matter
of fact.
I think
I listened to one of the episodes she was on.
Yeah, if you go back all the way back, this is the episode 135, her first time on.
Okay.
She has a couple stories from working on. She's fresh off the productions of Ant-Man and Fantastic Four.
Sure, sure.
And she told us back then some of the stories that she felt she was allowed to speak on. On what Fantastic Four stuff that she saw when they did reshoots. Yeah. She saw...
It's not a good word, reshoot.
No. Yeah, reshoots, especially in this context. She saw the Fantastic Car and them shooting with the Fantastic Car, and then she saw the reshoots where they took the Fantastic Car out and they did other shit. Ugh. Yeah. So she was there for all that.
It's messy.
And
then
when the show was over, then she told us more stuff. I was like, oh, why couldn't
you
tell us on the show?
Exactly. Yeah, we heard some stuff that we probably shouldn't have heard, but we
heard anyway.
Yeah.
So go back and check that out. So, yeah, Fox, they don't always get it right.
No.
They got it right with Deadpool. Now they're doing Deadpool 2.
Yep. Yes.
Yep. Well known that they're bringing in the character of Cable.
Yes.
Oh, that's all the and talk Domino. Nowadays. Yeah, who's going to be talk, Cable?
Especially since and they cast the Domino character, right? Who's Zazie Beetz.
Zazie Beetz.
The girl from the Atlanta show. Great name. I love that name. She is a Domino. And,
oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yep. Yeah. And now they're narrowing down who's going to play Cable. This is an interesting article in which...
Kevin Nash.
Can't move. Kevin Nash literally cannot move.
But he looks just like Cable.
Facially in old... Yeah, because he's old and he's big. Uh-huh. But he's also in the Magic Mike movies. And if you watch those...
I know, he can't move.
If you watch those movies, oh my God, it's so funny. I haven't seen XXL and I want to see it because apparently it's...
Crazy.
It's movie magic in some way.
Apparently, that is the Magic Mike movie
that the first one was supposed to be.
Should have been.
Yeah, the first one is Steven Soderbergh, like super dour, very intense.
Seriously, surprisingly, really good movie.
I love it. I think it's great. But Kevin Nash is one of the dancers. And he's in the background. And when Channing Tatum and Alex Pettyfer, they're all spinning around and doing all these moves, Kevin Nash has to just like put his arms up in the air and like wave back and forth. And then, and then they drop down to the ground and do these moves. And he just keeps standing. And he just stays up. He's like, I can't get to the ground. Once I get down to the ground, brother, I ain't getting back for a while. He's so old. For a minute, according to this article, they were in talks with... Stephen Lang wants to be Cable.
Of course he does.
Apparently not in the discussion
Stephen
anywhere.
Lang's from really? Avatar, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? But give him the fucking white coat. Come on!
I mean he's... Stephen Lang is what? He's already visually, what, 80% the way there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's a ripped old man. He's got the military haircut, white hair.
And silver fox look.
Yes. Yeah, he's there. He wants it. Ain't getting it, though, because they're talking to people who... They are talking to actors who don't have to explain who they are.
That's
okay.
True.
Okay, because you have to be like Stephen Lang, who the guy from Avatar,
but
or don't.
I mean, look, they just want a marquee name. Really,
they want a marquee name to give you an idea of what they were going. They were talking to the talks fell apart, but they were talking to Brad Pitt to play the Cable. That's how big of a name they were looking.
That's so stupid.
You don't like the idea of Brad Pitt as Cable?
Ryan Reynolds needs to be the top billed on these Deadpool movies.
He will be top billed, no matter what. This isn't a Superman the movie situation where Christopher Reeve is the third billed on his own movie behind Marlon Brando and Gene Hackman.
No, but even celebrity-wise, they cannot put somebody higher on the celebrity stack than Ryan Reynolds in this movie.
Fair enough, okay.
Because if they do, then it becomes his movie.
Okay.
And Ryan Reynolds is a side character.
Fair enough.
That's tough. I think visually nowadays they can pretty much turn anybody into looking like whatever they want them to look like. But I think the thing too is like if you went to go see Deadpool 2 and Brad Pitt was going to be Cable, wouldn't the first thing you think is, man, his agent had a total swish?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Come on. Well, I mean, that's just like the biggest acquisition and deal of the year.
It would just be too distracting that it's Brad Pitt in a movie.
Well, no, you cannot have somebody of that
caliber.
It's a fucking Deadpool movie, bro. All
right.
I mean, I get it. Brad Pitt's a cool guy. He, you know, he wore one of the monkey costumes in fucking Jackass.
He did.
I get it.
Sure.
You know, I get it. He's a cool guy.
He also did that scene where he was lined up to buy a movie ticket, and then they kidnapped him.
Yeah.
And the people were on the phone like, I think Brad Pitt just got
kidnapped. That was so great.
Oh my God, you know, that was so funny.
I get it. He's a cool guy, but for the movie to work,
no Brad Pitt.
You can't, like I said, you can't have anybody more.
I would pass on Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Well, it fell apart, guys.
Oh, good.
It's not happening.
Good.
We have our senses together.
I think then maybe if you're talking about level of celeb, you may be happy with the current front runner for Cable. Surprised that he's even in negotiations, but he's a front runner to play the part. Hasn't signed on the dotted line yet.
Michael Shannon.
How did you know? Did you see this online? Did you see it,
Drew?
I
think he's contractually obligated to be in like 50 movies a year.
He does work.
He's a busy actor.
Well, Michael Shannon works.
That means he can fucking do anything. The man played Elvis, for Christ's sake, and I believed it.
He did play Elvis.
He looks nothing like the man, and I believed it.
He has a very interesting silent intensity.
He's so crazy.
He's crazy.
He's got that face.
Yeah.
He may be Cable. Did you see that ahead of time?
I have not heard that.
You were joking, Drew.
Wow.
Drew.
That's a damn good guess.
I thought, that's an amazing guess, man.
Pretty good guess, man. That goes to show the mystique of Michael Shannon. Yeah. He's just in our minds.
I was completely, in my head, I was going, let's just name some random guy that, you know, I mean, Michael Shannon could totally do it, but who looks nothing like Cable but could probably pull it off.
Yeah, well, it's good. Yeah. Frontrunner Michael Shannon.
Interesting.
They're talking to him, and if it falls through, maybe David Harbour, the guy who's the sheriff in
From Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. Really? Yeah, that big fella.
You know, I'm totally fine with both of those
guys.
He'd
be good too. He's a big guy.
Yeah, and I think.
But I would love to see Michael Shannon.
Yeah, going back to what Drew said, though, I think the appeal of Deadpool, maybe the future of Deadpool and its success would be. That's what was so cool about the first one, was we all knew who Ryan Reynolds was, but there was a lot of kind of not famous people that played some stellar roles. And guess what? Bring in an actor that's maybe not as renowned, maybe that's the role that shapes that actor in the future.
Yeah.
You know, you open up a little more of that kind of...
They become
really
a little more
playing
known
a good
for
part.
Playing Cable. Yeah. Well, at this point, though, Michael Shannon, though, is like, oh, look, General Zod is Cable now. He was General Zod.
I know he was.
That was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it pops out of there on the headphones sometimes. You gotta watch out. That's a weird headphone, isn't
it? I got it.
Those were donated to the studio. Damn, Drew, Michael Shannon.
That's ridiculous. Crazy.
Swish.
Yeah, that was wild. Escape from New York. They talk about remaking this movie every few years.
Saw that.
Yeah, but it keeps popping up. Looks like they are coming closer to actually making it again. Fox.
Okay.
Almost all Fox News here.
We need a new Snake Plissken, though.
We didn't
heard something about Rodriguez helming it.
Exactly. We need a new Snake Plissken, but in the meantime, we have a director, and it's looking like it's going to be Robert Rodriguez.
That works.
Well, I think it works. He's a genre director.
Visually, that works.
Visually, he's a fan, obviously, of John Carpenter.
Of course.
So, Death Proof had a little bit of feel of like 100%.
For sure.
Planet Terror, definitely. It felt like that.
Yeah, the whole Grindhouse thing. So I guess it's a matter of really when it comes to Robert Rodriguez, is he going to make something that just feels like super derivative, or will he have his own take on it?
I mean, I'm totally okay with Robert Rodriguez's
Escape from New York.
You know, where maybe it's a little flashier and, you know, more blood, a little more fucking campy.
Hey, I'm also fine with a Hispanic, a Latin Snake Plissken.
Yeah, totally, man. Let's break some boundaries.
As long as he has an eye patch and a beard, I'm happy.
So yo soy Snake Plissken.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Make him from Spain have a lisp Snake Plissken.
I'm totally cool with that.
Yo soy Snake Plissken. I'm fine with that. So Robert Rodriguez, so it looks like we're all happy with this choice. Okay,
sure.
And if it happens, it happens. Works. If it doesn't, I'm not surprised either, because John Carpenter movies are these things where it's like, are we going to remake it? Yeah, let's remake it. But then I don't know.
They just pull all the John Carpenter movies out of a hat. Let's do this one. We're going to do The Mist this year, guys.
Yeah, they throw in darts, and it's like, oh, now we're doing Mouth of Madness. All right, here we go. Is Sam Neill still available? Guys, it's time for the end of the show. End of the show means...
We give you the questions. You give us the answers.
That's right.
Time for the lightning
round. Here we go. Lightning round time. Tom, I got 10 questions. I need 10 answers, and we're going to go through them fast. You ready?
Okay, let's try.
Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, aliens or predators?
Aliens.
Number two, are you a garbage can or a garbage can't?
Can't.
Number three, when will Katherine Heigl recapture the hearts of Americans?
Never.
Number four, Winona Ryder or Radio Flyer?
Radio Flyer.
Number five, are you pure green or a mix of blue and yellow?
Oh, I'd like to say a mix of blue and yellow.
You're mixed. I didn't know this guy here. Number six, what's the best thing about being drunk on a Monday?
Calling out on a Tuesday.
Number seven, can you disprove the existence of the Illuminati?
I don't think I can.
That's right, you can't. Number eight, you ever get them jailhouse shorts?
No.
No? Good for you. Number nine.
Do you even know what jailhouse shorts are?
I do. I've been to college. Number nine, I've been pouring in college. Hanging out at the benches. Let me get them jailhouse shorts.
I'll get them shorts, bro.
Like, I'll give you jailhouse shorts. I'll take them. You're derailing the segment, Drew. Number nine, are you sassy or gassy?
Can be both at times.
Mm. Ooh, sassy gassy.
Yeah.
Or gassy sassy. Number 10. At the
same time, though?
At the same time? Yeah, sure.
I guess being gassy makes you sassy.
Gassassy.
It does.
Finally, number 10. Is laughter the best medicine, or would you rather have morphine?
Can I have both?
Yes, you can.
That's both of them.
Morphine might lead to laughter.
That's definitely what I'm saying.
Actually, right?
And it definitely itching, too.
Yeah.
Morphine gives you scratches.
Time for swag baggery. Drew, grab the swag bags over there. We got the greenish bag and the red bag. Tom, you got to go home with one of these bags today. Choose one right now.
Green looks just crazy, man, the way the light's hitting it.
It's a wild, magnetic-looking green bag.
Hells yeah.
Drew, go ahead.
You got an actual swag bag. That is so baller.
Yes, you
got
to go home with swaggery. Drew, let Tom know what he may get to go home with today.
So you may get to go home with a 7-in-1 LED light-up stick for, you know, when you go raving.
Fuck yeah.
Awesome.
Get some Molly. And what mall is that?
Jumbo Grow Shark. You put it in water and it grows up to 600%.
Right about into the ocean.
Up to 600%.
Up to. So it might be like 550%.
Or it might be not at all. You have a hard case crime. Author of Walk Among the Tombstones, Lawrence Block. Borderline.
Nice.
It looks like he got a 40s hussy on the cover.
That is noir as hell.
Noir
as hell is right.
And you got a bunch of Cinema Crespedito. Yes. What's the fuss?
You got a What's the Fuss sticker in there? Cinema Crespedito stickers.
I think
maybe be a Swervy Jones sticker in there.
Fantastic.
FilmFlorida.org. Now, Tom, you can take all this home. This can be yours. Or we put the bag away. You don't see it ever again. Instead, you take what's in the box that Drusa Cogburn has right over here.
Did you just give yourself a fake listing? Did you say instead?
Instead.
I think you did.
And that's leftover from my Barcelona list.
Wow.
Gassy
this is
sassy.
Crazy. So many choices.
So many choices. You got to take what's in the bag. Or you take what's in the box. That's right.
I'm going to take the bag, man.
We're
going with
the bag. All right. Well done. Give him the bag. Give him that bag. Put that box away. He doesn't get to see what's in the box. What's the box? You can peek in there.
I don't get the Nintendo Switch that's in there.
That's right. you don't get the check of $10,000 that's in there, but don't cash it because it will bounce. Yeah. Put that away. Get that in there. Put that box away. I don't even remember what's in there. Drew, thank you very much. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're very welcome, sir.
Tom, thank you very much.
Guys, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me on. You got a great show here.
Oh, thank you so much. And everyone check out the Oh No Radio Show. Thank Owen for the magnets and whatnot.
For sure.
We appreciate
thank you guys.
It. Everyone listen to this Thursday's episode where Tom will be promoting his appearance on Cinema Crispy, so I'm sure.
You know it.
Hell yeah. All right. Thank you everyone for downloading and listening. We appreciate your support. Rate us and review us on iTunes. Check us out on Stitcher Radio. Be excellent to each other. Break up the big banks. Put your money in your mattresses and read more books. Did I do that backwards?
Yes.
Only you know the truth. The truth is out there.
But only I know the truth.
But Drew knows the truth.
And I speak the truth. Nothing but the truth.
Read more books, people. We're out of here.